Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the best show. This is, well, not welcome back. Welcome. I'm welcoming you back in a larger sense that it's another episode of the show, but this is the beginning of the show and I'm welcoming you to it. So welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, the best show. How many years in are we? 20 something, 20, 21. What are we at?
22,
but I'm saying like it's 21 now. It'll be 22 in October.
Right.
Yeah. So welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, the best show. And, it is the month of March, and you know what happens in March is you got March Madness, and I don't know anything about what's happening with that this year. I'm assuming that a lot of players that will be lawyers in 3 years are now being heralded as the greatest things that ever happened to sports.
Come on, Tom. You got to root for St. Peter's.
Jersey City.
You're missing out on the St. Peter's phenomenon?
I know nothing about it.
Blocks from the studio.
It's exciting.
Great. Well, good for them. I look forward to potentially buying a car from their all-star forward in 4 years.
Yeah.
No. Well, look. I ain't watching student films. I ain't watching student athletes. It's just how I roll. I demand professionalism. And it's ironic when you think about the quality of my broadcasting abilities that I demand professionalism. I don't have a booming voice where I can do like a chicken wing commercial or anything like that. I never had those skills where I could say coming up next, we got a double shot of Steppenwolf. I never had that. I just have grit and guts. And, oh, no, I'm starting to sound like one of those people that explains what they like about college basketball that I'm doing. I do radio the right way. That's always the great thing when people are like, they do it the right way. They play the right way. Yeah. But look, God bless everybody. Best of luck to everybody over at St. Peter's. Congratulations to everybody at St. Peter's. When do they play again?
Friday. They play Purdue.
Okay. Well, I'd like to bet, $980,000 on the game for St. Peter's. It's St. Peter's.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'll put 980 grand on St. Peter's to, what's the spread on the game? What do we got?
I don't know what the spread is. Yeah, they'll be underdogs, that's for sure.
Yeah,
what kind of action?
They have a good chance.
What kind of action are we talking about?
Let me see.
Purdue's ranked.
Give me the spread on this.
I mean, they already beat, I think, the number two or three school in the Yeah, and that was their first game. So then,
who'd they beat now for that?
They beat Kentucky.
That's the
John Calipari coaches Kentucky, who was such a flop when he ran the Nets further into the ground. John Calipari had everybody going, bring back Butch Beard, please.
Hey, Tom, I think I'll take that action with this Purdue game.
What's that?
Purdue is a 12.5-point favorite.
12.5 points.
St. Peter's is getting 12.5 points.
I'll bet St. Peter's 980 grand. I'll do St. Peter's on that. I'll do.
You're going to take St. Peter's.
I'll take St. Peter's. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll take St. Peter's. It's Jersey Pride. I'll take St. Peter's.
Okay.
Will you guys explain that to me? Because I don't know what you mean by 12-point spread.
I don't
gamble, guys.
Okay. Well, just imagine. Let me explain it to you in terms.
I'm not a degenerate.
I'll explain it in terms you might understand.
Yes.
Eddie Van Halen.
Thank you. Good start.
There you go. It's a great start.
Uh-huh.
Eddie Van Halen is saying he's the best guitarist ever.
Yes.
And now somebody's saying, well, I think that Ritchie Blackmore is the greatest guitarist ever.
Whew, that's tough.
And then somebody says, well, I'm going to say, well, because if we assume who's the best guitarist ever? What are we saying on this? Who's the actual best guitarist?
Who do we think Jimmy the best
Hendrix? Let's say Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, let's say Hendrix.
Let's just say Jimi Hendrix.
It's Prince.
Well, look.
This is deteriorating.
No. Please, I have to know how this works. Hendrix is the best.
If Hendrix is the best, and then Ritchie Blackmore, and look, I'm going to get this wrong, and I know people are going to be screaming at me because I'm making it up as I go along, and I'm trying to be funny also. So please, any degenerate gamblers who are screaming at...
Wrong!
Screaming.
Tom!
I can represent them for you.
He's not explaining the spread the right way. So what it comes down to is this.
Okay.
If there's two teams, Jason.
Eddie Van Halen, Ritchie Blackmore.
No, we're going to actual sports now. I'm not going to try to make it work with
you. Well, I'm not going to understand.
Okay, well, you will when I'm done with this.
Okay.
If there are two teams, one team is better than another. Say that one team is better than another team. Everybody knows, oh, this team is generally better than the team A is better than team B going into it. It's understood. It's more likely that team A will win the game outright. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Yes.
And
the favorite.
Yeah, they are the favorite. Maybe they have home court advantage. Maybe they're just a better team. Maybe somebody's injured on the other team. Whatever it is, it adds up to team A is the favorite. So gamblers, they don't want that because it would be because then everybody's only going to bet on team A. Because who would bet on team B? There's no reason to bet on team B because why would you pick the less likely win if you were gambling? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So what you do is you add a point spread, which you spot team B X number of points to even out the bet. So that way you can get action on both teams. You have somebody who'll go, well, I still think team A. So the odds makers say, all right, well, we've evaluated team A, we've evaluated team B, and we're going to say that there's an 8-point. We figure 8 points would even out to make it basically a coin flip. If you give an 8-point spread to say that, hey, if I decide to bet on team B, who is the lesser of the two teams, they could lose
and still win.
But exactly.
With the points.
You could bet on team B. And if if team B loses by 1 point, you win if the spread is above 1 point.
Does that make sense? Yes, that makes
Purdue
perfect
is giving
sense.
12 and a half points. So they have to beat St. Peter's by at least 13 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a half point. I don't know how they get it down to half points, but that's another topic. Yeah.
In the real world, the actual players on Purdue are saying, we only have to win by 1 point.
Yeah.
To win, but that's not what every degenerate gambler cares about.
Right?
They will consider the Purdue players to be losers if they win the game by 3 points.
Yeah,
everybody will be mad at them. Everybody who bet on Purdue will be mad at them because they didn't cover the spread. Have you ever heard that? You've heard that expression.
Yes. Yeah.
Covering the spread. Well, that's what covering the spread means.
Jason, a great movie to watch would be Uncut Gems if you've never seen it.
You should watch Uncut Gems, Jason.
I will watch. I have seen it.
You should watch it again. You should watch that and
check it out.
Mm-hmm. There's also The VIG. Do you know what The VIG is?
No. Jason? What's The VIG?
The VIG is kind of the price of doing business. Is that fair to say, Mike?
Yeah. It's the VIG, tax.
The VIG is the tax that just that way, because gambling is not a charity, and it generally favors that way the people running the book, doing the bookmaking.
They get a taste.
They get a taste regardless of the outcome.
Gotcha.
Right? Is that?
Yeah, they got to get their piece. Yeah.
Yeah, they get their piece of the action regardless. Even, because look, they can take a bath. If suddenly some weird fluky thing happens, and if everybody picked like a weird underdog and then that underdog wins, that is bad news for them. That is the last thing they're expecting. And look, also, I'm not a gambler. My gambling consists of I go to a casino. I go to a slot machine. I look for a slot machine that has characters from a movie or a TV show I enjoy. whether it's Herman Munster or Sex in the City, or I'm like, ooh, they're like my friends. So I sit down with my friends and start feeding money into it. That's the extent. I am not a hardcore gambler by any stretch. I never do sports betting. So if I'm saying any of this wrong, it's all secondhand at best for me with this stuff. So,
this is the first time I've ever understood it. So,
the first time you've ever understood the idea of points.
Points. Yeah, I never knew. Look,
the only way you knew points is when a young man named Christopher Hardwick would shout it out at Kurt Brownoller.
Yeah,
and Dan St. Germain, when he would shout out that when they came up with a funny Star Wars pun.
That's where I thought it came from.
You thought, man, I'll tell you, if that dude had his head screwed on right, he'd be doing commercials where he'd be like, hey, go to FanDuel and points. They'll get you points. That's what I'd do if I was him. But look, he's got all this Patty Hearst money. Not Patty Hearst money. Well, Patty Hearst, the rest of the Hearsts. He married into the Hearst family. So I don't think he's worried about doing FanDuel commercials anytime soon. I don't think he's clipping coupons anymore.
Yeah, no, he's okay.
I don't think he's rolling up and down the aisles of Costco, figuring out how many pickle chips he can eat if it's worth buying a, buying a 10 gallon jug of pickle chips. And when they say these pickles are butter, right? Is that what they say?
Bread and butter.
What does that mean? It's good on a sandwich?
It's a sweeter pickle. The bread and butter pickle is pretty popular in the South. I eat it on sandwiches a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Now I enjoy bread and butter pickles. They're a little sweeter and a little less dill. They're not even dill at all. They're like, but why are they called? So why bread and butter? Because it's implied that they come with sandwiches.
So apparently back in the day when the pickles were being made, people would barter for these pickles with bread and butter.
That's not true.
That's what it says. I looked up. I went on
people
Bing.
People would barter with Bing. Bread and butter?
Yeah.
For pickles.
The family made pickles.
Different times.
Of their undersized cucumbers.
Those were different times, Mike.
And they bartered.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
Simpler times.
I got three pieces of bread. All right, I'll put extra butter on it. You got to give me more pickles, man. Come on, man.
You got any sweet pickles?
Hey, man. How many, I want some of them bread and butter pickles, man. All right, well, how much bread you got? Oh, like half a loaf. All right, I'll give you like eight pickles for that. What if I butter it? All right.
Ten.
Let's round up to ten. I'll give you 10. Come on, man. 10? Make it 12. And then we got a deal, man.
He's turning into Rodney Dangerfield a little bit.
We're bouncing on. We're going from Foghorn Leghorn to Rodney Dangerfield. We're covering all the bases. That's what we do here on The Best Show. And now that we got our gambling talk out of the way, anybody wants to give me some action on St. Peter's, again, 980 grand I'm willing to put down. I also want to bet on will bet on any action anybody's giving from Moon Knight, this new Moon Knight series coming up. I want to bet that Moon Knight wins in the end. And because I'm hearing this Moon Knight, all the talk online consists of, is Moon Knight one of the chosen people? Is Moon Knight of the Jewish faith? And I know this is very important to two people I know, both of which were potential proteges of mine at one point. Basically, H-Man and Z-Man care about this more than life itself, and they want to know what's up. I'm willing to bet $980,000 on the basketball game. I'll also do another $310,000 that Moon Knight in the season finale converts to Christianity and becomes a pastor. If I could get some odds on that. And Jason, do you know what the over-under is when you hear that? Have you heard that as a phrase?
I have heard the phrase, but I have no idea what it means.
Well, here's what the over-under would be.
Okay. In relation to Moon Knight.
No, in relation to sports.
Okay.
It's basketball.
Okay.
And I bet on the Purdue-St. Peter's game. And I say, and the bookmakers will set the over-under, which is to say the cumulative amount of points for both teams, for example.
They've set it at 136.5 points.
Yeah, when you add up both teams' scores.
Both teams.
And then you say, oh, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'll take the over. And other people will be like, well, no, I think it's going to be a very defensive-minded game. I don't think they're going to get that number when you add up both of their scores. I'll take the under. So that's
I'd take the under on St. Peter's. They're a defensive team.
I would take the under on that game also because it's college basketball and these guys can't play. What do you mean aw?
They're trying.
No, have been some low scoring games. I'm not going to deny that.
It's an inch away from stolen valor what these college basketball kids do, pretending to be. It's like they're like, I'm dressed up like a basketball player.
Competitive, Tom. I mean, a competitive game. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, competitive game is a competitive game. You ever watch some slobs try to play a horse who can't play?
All right.
It can be competitive.
That's my game.
Because they're terrible.
Here's what's happening.
Because nobody can close it out.
I am a horse playing slob.
AP Mike and myself are finally interested in talking to you, Tom Sharpling, about basketball.
And all I'm doing
and
is
then you, all you're doing is saying, no, you don't like the right kind of basketball.
This is true.
Your basketball sucks. Yeah.
Okay, well, it would be the same as if you guys wanted to talk about music and then suddenly started talking all about Kenny Chesney. Oh, Tom likes music.
Poor Fish.
Tom likes music. I'm going to talk to him all about the new Matchbox 20 Outtakes LP.
God.
There's a new live box set, Matchbox 20, live at the Borgata.
The games have been exciting, and we're psyched about Jersey City. That's all.
Four discs.
Somebody who went to that show.
About that new Matchbox 20 live at the Borgata box set, where when you buy it, you end up on a list. On general principles, they're flagging you. That's all I'm saying. What if I said, oh, Pat likes music. I'm going to talk to him all about music. I want to talk to him about my favorite band, Smash Mouth.
Yeah, welcome to my job and any new coworker.
I know that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm doing what you would like to do to them when they do that to you. Not that you guys were doing that to me.
It's a little different though. Like a slight difference here. It's still the game of basketball.
No, of course. And it's still guitars and bass guitars and drums. And microphones.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, look, it was a funny thing to point out. That's all.
I'm excited about it for the state of New Jersey. New Jersey deserves a winner. The last time New Jersey's won anything of consequence was probably The Sopranos.
Yep.
When they beat New York in the end, when Phil Leotardo got his head squished. Sorry, spoilers. You've had your chance to catch up.
Yeah.
Already. And people who might say if they think Tony Soprano died at the end, you know what? It was a push. You don't know. You don't know, but we certainly saw Phil Leotardo get that head squashed. And have we talked about what song he got it squashed to?
I think so.
I don't think we have.
Vanilla Fudge, You Keep Me Hanging On.
Yeah.
Their version. That's what Phil Leotardo was cranking when he went to that Raceway gas station on Route 46 or wherever hilarious. That was across from the Barnes & Noble.
Isn't there a Jersey connection in Vanilla Fudge?
Are the Apice brothers, how do you say it, Apice or Apice?
Yeah, I think Apice. They actually played in Bayonne. I missed out on that. They played this tiny little park a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it was a good time.
They were from Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. Okay.
So I'm sure they played in. But I have to ask you guys real quickly, how does the over-under factor into you winning?
Because you say, oh, I'll bet the under. $500 on the under.
So it's a separate bet.
Yeah, it's like 50-50. It's a 50-50.
It's like a little. Gotcha.
There are over-unders for everything. I could say, oh, there's going to be 55 rebounds in the game total between both teams. And then I say, nah, they're not great rebounding teams. They're more run and gun, or they're really good shooters. So there's not going to be that many missed shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you can bet the over-under on anything.
Well, you guys have created a gambler.
There we go.
I hope you're happy.
I am happy. Come on down to my to my back room casino. Maybe I'll open up a back room casino. Wouldn't that be great? Come on in. Yeah, and then I
could probably set one up at the Jersey City studio.
Yeah, probably. You think surprised there's not one happening right now. I could set one up. I could maybe set one up there. And meanwhile, he's just trying to keep quiet because he's picking guys up from Newark Airport and bringing them right to the casino.
In quotes.
All right. It's time to start the best show. Tonight, we're talking about the characters in fiction that would suck in real life. So call up 3484. Why did I blank on it all of a sudden? So we'll talk about that, but let's get the show started, and it is time. The old clock on the wall says it's well past the time, but who cares? It's best show time.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Jersey, back in
Yeah. Best show. What's up, everybody? Here on a Tuesday night in March of 2022. We are doing it to it and having some fun doing it. And we got a good show for you tonight. We're going to talk all about, as I said, we're going to talk about what fictional character would actually suck in real life. Because look, the first one that comes to mind for me, I'll start it off. Ferris Bueller would literally be one of the most insufferable humans you've ever dealt with in your life. If Ferris Bueller was not this concept, but was an actual person, awful. You wouldn't be able to stand it. And I want to hear who you've got. So 201-332-3484, give a call and we'll get your contributions to that. We're going to have our friend Anna Saragina. Gina or Gina? What is it?
Gina.
Pat.
Saragina.
It's Anna Saragina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes you get on the mic and then you're just like, why am I questioning how to say something I know how to say? It's weird. It's so weird, but God bless everybody. And we'll talk to her all about season two of her very, very successful podcast is coming back, Truth Hound. We'll talk about that. And we'll take your calls. And yeah, we'll have some fun tonight. Any calls? We just heard from Ultra Orange and Emmanuel from 2007. Something a record that eluded me, and I'm glad I caught it because I like it. The album is called Ultra Orange and Emmanuel, and the song we heard was Lines of My Hand. And I enjoy it, and the whole record is really great, and I plan on learning more about what their deal is, so to speak. All right. Any calls, Pat?
Full house.
Let's go off to the races. Who's been on hold longest?
49 minutes. Line one.
All right. Well, line one, welcome to the best show.
Hello, you rat bastard.
I love it. This is somebody who follows the rules. And now I don't want everybody to be some sort of drone following the rules. But I like when I say, let's keep this rat bastard thing alive. That's my nickname for 2022. Cause I'm down in the trenches. John Wick 3 style. Well, to whom am I speaking? What's your name, Chief?
This is one of the mics in Minneapolis.
One of the many mics in Minneapolis. There are 1,000 lakes and 1,000 mics. Right. What do you got for me, Mike? You got somebody for the topic in mind?
I have three for the topic, and I did have a rat bastard idea, if that's appropriate.
This is what we're going to do. You're going to give me one.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me a second one, then we're going to talk about the rat bastard idea, and you're going to close it out with your third one, and we're going to say goodnight. That's the schedule for our call. Go ahead.
Beautiful. All right, my first one is for you, Frankie Teardrop.
You mean the idea of the character Frankie Teardrop?
Right, because the implication would be that hell is real, we are all mm-hmm. Frankie, and we're all in hell.
Yeah, we're all in hell, and I think you can make a pretty good case that if Frankie Teardrop was an actual person in your life, you'd have a justifiable fear of getting murdered.
Yeah. You never know when that gun's going to come out.
Yeah. Is there anyone in your life that you think, yeah, they could murder me?
Well, in the past, because I've known three murderers at this point.
Hold on. You've known three actual murderers?
Yes.
what is this, an episode of, what are we doing, a true crime show all of a sudden?
He was just an unassuming man growing up in the Midwest.
Yeah. So tell me about the murderers.
So when I was in grade school, one of my classmates had an older brother. I only had one interaction with him, and he was kind to me, as, you know, he was like an eighth grader and I was like a third grader. And I just remember that he was kind to me once, because you didn't expect that from the older kids. And when he was in high school, apparently he had an obsession with a neighbor, and he broke into her house and stabbed her to death one day.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. No doubt.
Jeez.
Yep. And then
you know, three murder. You're. It's weird that you said I have three people for the topic tonight, and I know three murderers. Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird how that shook out mathematically.
Right. And, you know, and actually now that I'm thinking about it, I know four. So I guess it doesn't shake out
mathematically. Who's another murderer you knew?
So then there was this guy, Terry, that I went to high school with. I was never particularly fond of him. And a few years ago, he had apparently gotten a job with another guy that I went to high school with, this guy Todd, who was a friend of mine, like in, you know, junior high. And I guess Terry had been stealing money from the company or something. And Todd confronted him about it. He murdered Todd in the business. Then he set the business on fire and left his car in the parking lot, but stole Todd's car and then went on the run. And then he drove south to like a rest area and killed somebody else and stole their car. Yeah, but then he came back to the, like, small little town that I went to high school in with, like, 6,000 people and was, like, seen at the local Walmart, and then there was a big police chase, you know, because it was, like, right in northern Illinois, so, like, crossing back and forth over the border between Wisconsin and Illinois, and then was ultimately caught.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yep.
How long ago was that?
This was probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Man, and were you close with Todd?
I really hadn't been since maybe we were like 12 or 13. You know, I probably hadn't seen him since high school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was sad because...
Of course. No, that doesn't matter. That has no bearing on the tragedy of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. And then who... Now we'll move on to the, I never thought I'd say this. Let's move on to the second half of your gallery of murderers that you've known in your life.
Right. And then, I no longer do drugs, but I used to be a bit of a partier. And there was a guy, I think he did go to my high school, but he was older than me. And, so I just kind of knew him from like going to parties and whatnot. And he was at a bar one night and got into some sort of bar fight, and they took it out to the parking lot. And I guess it was him against three other guys was the story I heard. And one of them pulled a knife, and I think he took the knife away from the guy and like ended up killing one of them, you know, at least.
Yikes. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And how well did you know that person?
Not terribly well. Like I said, you know, he would just sort of be a guy that was at parties and whatnot.
Okay.
And I always,
sure. So
I
he always, was a casual acquaintance.
Yeah. I did always try to avoid him because he was kind of frightening.
Man. And then the final murderer?
Well, this one was I don't want to call it accidental because playing with a gun, you have to you can't really mess around with guns, but somebody else in my small town, they were playing with a gun with a friend, and it went off, and they killed the other person.
Oh, terrible. That's tragic.
Yeah.
Back to the topic. You got any other fun characters?
Well, the next one I was thinking of was Minnesota sort of related, and that would be Paul Bunyan.
Tell me why Paul Bunyan would be a jerk in real life.
Well, I just think the implication that at least one giant existed, and not only did a giant exist, but also a giant blue ox simultaneously coexisted, and it would upend a lot of science, I think, because if lakes and like the Grand Canyon and the Northern Lights and all these other things were created simply by Paul Bunyan, I think that would throw off a lot of sort of our physical science as we know it.
All right. Well, look, this is now you're starting to sound like, what's his face? Neil deGrasse Tyson, who drives me up the wall. This guy, this is the kind of guy who, he's basically like the kind of guy who gets gleeful about reminding everybody, you know, actually Christmas is a pagan holiday. Like, it's just like, yeah, no, that's fine that that's the origins and it is, but you're kind of saying it just to you're trying to just change the temperature in the room when you say it. It's fine if it's just facts. It's another thing when you're doing it to be like gleeful, by just like blowing everyone's minds with it. When he's like, actually, Spider-Man would not be able to. It's like, okay, we get that Spider-Man wouldn't be able to really exist. Ay, 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 with those posts. Jason, can you pull one of those up and read me one of his bummer, contrarian posts, tweets that Neil deGrasse Tyson does?
Yeah, let me take a look.
He's like the Alan Comover of science. Jason's former alleged improv teacher.
Kristen actually talked to him today.
Alan Comover?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Great.
And did he ruin it?
He ruined the entire call.
Yeah.
He made like a fart sound and hung up.
Mm-hmm. Actually, look, I think the guy's great.
Here's one.
Others. Okay.
So this is after the El Paso shooting. And he tweeted, in the past 48 hours, the USA horrifically lost 34 people to mass shootings. On average, across any 48 hours, we also lose 500 to medical errors, 300 to the flu, 250 to suicide, 200 to car accidents, 40 to homicide via handgun. Often our emotions respond more to spectacle than to data.
Rather than just be like, this tragedy is awful and let's focus on the tragedy of gun violence. Whatever. That's weird. But what's one that's like totally like Star Trek where he gets all
let me look.
Twisty about, man, everybody between this guy and the four murderers and Jason bringing up a shooting. What am I doing here?
Dark Star.
What kind of show am I doing here?
We're on a Wisconsin death trip.
So while Jason looks for that, another one, Mike, what's your third fictional character?
Well, now that you kind of called me out on the last one, I'm not sure if I want to say my final.
No, go with it. Go with it.
I was going to say Gregor Samsa from The Metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. You think he would be? I would say this. To be fair, Gregor Samsa had something to complain about.
Oh, for sure. But just how horrifying that a human being could turn into a sentient large insect and be incapable of communicating, because if it can happen to him, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, no, I read the book in high school. I did go to high school. I didn't graduate from high school. I did go to high school, though.
Well, actually, I don't think you're good.
Actually, I'll see. Here we go. You got one for me, Dudia?
I'm still looking. There's a lot of really... He's tweeted a lot of...
He's a snooze. That guy's a snooze. All right, well, we'll come back to that.
He tweeted... Here's one. Not that anybody asked, but Friday the 6th is... Where did it go? God almighty. Yeah, that was not a good one.
We'll find it. Yeah, later in the show. Okay. I'll find it.
I'll catch us up later in the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mike, thanks for the call.
Oh, I got to go.
Could I give you my rat bastard idea?
Yeah, of course, please.
I think you should take over the Hollywood Handbook Patreon, and I have an idea how you could do it.
Okay.
So I know that you can boss Kevin around, so... The next time a Phil episode is going to get recorded, you tell Kevin, hey, Sean and Hayes said it's you and me for this pro episode. So then you take over the pro. Then you tell Kevin, oh, you know, Hayes can't make it to the next flagrant ones record, so I'm going to step in for him. And then you're in on the flagrant ones. And I think you and Carl have a pretty good rapport. So, I think instantly.
Carl, I like Carl Tart a lot. He's great.
Yeah, so instantly it could be Carl calls his cousin and Tom, just slide right in there, and then you're just one step away from, you know, booting the boys out of Hollywood Handbook, and then you've got the whole thing under your belt.
Look, I understand the strategy with that. There's a few leaps of logic in there. You're assuming that Kevin is living in some sort of isolation situation where he would not be talking to either Hayes or Sean about anything ever, and just trusting me as the intermediary for everything without him ever once reaching out to them. Oh, Hayes can't make it for that. And then Kevin just goes, yeah, Tom said that. Let's go book the thing off that. And it's like, it's a little unrealistic in a couple stretches there, my friend. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Mike. You get it though. And I appreciate. And be safe. Maybe don't make any new friends.
That is a job well done for me, sir.
Yeah, you might be trouble. all right, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks.
Pat, I got a good one.
Let's hear it.
Regardless of what Pink Floyd ever told you, there is no dark side of the moon.
Here we go.
All sides receive sunlight. Lunar days last a month. But there is, however, a permanent far side and near side.
If the guy, what did he say, regardless of what Pink Floyd told you?
Regardless of what Pink Floyd ever told you.
Yeah, well, guess what, Neil deGrasse Tyson? On the bleeping album, they say there is no dark side of the moon. Say it right on the album at the end. Well, the final thing they say on the record is there is no dark side of the moon. Right? The voice goes, there is no dark side of the moon. Now I'm all steamed. This guy's got me all worked up. Ready to punch myself out. Hold on. Now I got to prove this. Wait. And then we'll do line 5 in a second, Pat. Hold on. Now fighting with Neil deGrasse Tyson things. Here we go. Hold on. Did you hear that? He said there is no dark side of the moon, really. Ay, ay, ay. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Send you back to rock school, my friend. Line 5, please. Hello, best show.
What's up, Tom? It's Mike in Bay Bridge, a longtime listener, finally summoning the courage to call in and chat with the great one.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Good, good. You know, good. I just want to say that I hope you're holding up okay during these very turbulent days, and it's days where we sometimes feel that we've lost that connection to the things that we hold near and dear.
Yeah.
Those things that we need in order for us to feel that connection to one another in an effort to find that feeling of connectedness and that sense of place that we all seek.
Hey, this is Bruce Springsteen, actually, calling up. How are you doing, Bruce? Wait, whoa, what's going on there? What are you crying or laughing?
I'm sorry. I just get this real emotional reaction when you know, someone who must interact with hundreds of people every day has enough space on their inner hard drive to remember what my voice sounds like. I'll never get over it.
Well, I'm appreciative of your enthusiasm for that, but you're Bruce Springsteen. You can relax with that stuff. I know who you are.
All right. I don't know. I get amped up. You know how it is.
I hear you. I get it.
Yeah.
But don't worry.
Thank you. All right. Well, I got something for the topic. All right.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, the topic, if I'm not mistaken, is what fictional character would suck in real life?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is.
All right. I got one.
Okay.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Do you think he would suck in real life?
Well, I think it's an act. I think he's hiding something very dark. I don't know, like a cattle mutilation or a half or a full exsanguination. Check forging at the very least.
Cattle mutilation? You think that Forrest Gump would have been secretly guilty of cattle mutilation?
I do.
Okay, look, it's everyone can have an opinion on this one.
All right. Hey, look. I know last week I only made you smile, and I didn't actually make you laugh with my joke, but I think I can make you full-on snort Ovaltine out of your honker tonight.
Okay. So you think you're going to – okay. I want to see where this goes.
Okay. Well, it requires your participation, okay? I just emailed you something. I assume you're still at MrFahrenheit@yahoo.com?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. I just sent you an email, and it's got basically something for you to say to me.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just go to my email. Go here. Open. Password. All right. Here we go. I'm not really a fan of the TV show Get Smart.
Well, then you're no longer in the Smithereens. Pretty good, right?
Not sure I get it.
Oh, man, the Smithereens are big fans of, like, you know, old school sitcoms and stuff.
Okay. All right, I never thought of that as being their defunct.
Well, to me it is, yeah. All right, I got one more for you, all right?
Okay.
Merrick Garland. Sounds like his parents named him hoping he would grow up to be a pharmaceutical company.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good, okay. All right.
I mean, that's more clever than just, like, laugh out loud funny, for me at least.
All right, well, hey, I got big news.
Okay. What is the news?
I don't know if you heard that the actor Pete Davidson has a scheduling conflict that's going to prevent him from going into space on Blue Origin. Did you hear that?
I did. I did hear that the actor Pete Davidson was going to go to space, but then had to back out.
Yeah, it might have something to do with him playing Joey Ramone in that new biopic.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's perfect casting. You know, since Joey was also heavily tattooed on his arms, torso, and neck.
Yeah, no, I feel like people are gonna see that movie when it's Pete Davidson as Joey Ramone, and they're gonna be like. They're going to be like, aside from the tattoos,
right,
and the wig,
right,
because Pete Davidson has incredibly short hair, and I'm sure the wig that they get is going to be really great because they always are.
They are. Yeah.
Never look like wigs.
Never. I just hope this is realistic as that CBG biopic that they filmed in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, no, I thought that. There were points when I was watching that, and I was like, are we sure this isn't a documentary?
Right, yeah.
This is actual act, like they recreated this, eh?
I know, right down to the off flyer in 1976.
the police coming in and playing Roxanne.
That's the story. They flew straight from a Laker flight, you know, from London, went right to CB's and auditioned that night.
Yeah, they were not just on the inside track the entire time.
At all, no.
Yeah.
No, A&M could pull no strings.
Yeah, the best they could get. They signed to A&M and then flew to New York to audition.
Yeah.
For what? You might be asking.
I think it was for a slot on a Hardcore Sunday matinee.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it would have been Gorilla Biscuits.
Token entry. Cause for Alarm. Agnostic Front, of course. Yeah. Nihilistics. Yeah.
And they would have just been backstage talking then. I'm surprised they didn't sign to buy our records.
I know, yeah.
It seems Bruce like Wayne that must have been a coin flip them. For them.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, but getting back to Blue Origin, guess who's taking Pete Davidson's place?
Who?
One Bruce Frederick Joseph Springsteen. Perhaps you've heard of him.
I have heard of him. So, and it's you.
It is me. Yeah.
Hold on a second, Bruce. You're going to space?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm very excited, but I'm also kind of worried about going number two up there. Have you heard how that works?
I don't know about exactly how that works. I would hope, seriously hope, that someone would explain everything to you before you went up there.
I know. I haven't gotten a whole lot of answers, and I'm hearing about UFO activity lately, and I'm concerned about getting abducted by aliens.
I wouldn't worry about that. You're going to go up onto this shuttle. I don't think it's the kind of thing where you're going to get snatched up by aliens.
I don't know. You know, I haven't been able to get a straight answer from Sony on how many albums I've sold in space, so I'm kind of in the dark as to how I'll be treated if they board our ship?
You mean like if they don't know who you are?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Like if they're just like, get over there, Earthling.
I know, yeah. I mean, part of me's like, okay, and then part of me's like,
right? And part of you wants to know that you can just go, I'm going down, 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 and they'll be like, oh my God, it's Bruce Springsteen.
I know, yeah, he, oh my God, you know, we know the one song off that record that wasn't a single.
Yeah, Darlington County.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right, yeah. Going down was a single. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. You could sing Darlington County to them. And then they'd be like, they'd be, oh my God, it's Bruce Springsteen. You're okay. Unless the alien, what if the aliens don't like your music though?
Oh man. Yeah, I know. Like, what if they're like, I don't know. What if they're like Byron Coley or, you know, Gerard Cosley and they, you know, they don't like it at all.
Yeah. And then they're just like, yeah, like if it's like, what if they're like super into like Jello Biafra?
Right.
Like that's their sound and they just think of you as like the worst thing that happened to rock music.
Hey, do you think that?
I don't at all, Bruce. I'm just saying that's what others have said, but you should hardly worry about that because.
Wait, who said it?
Well, Jello Biafra did.
Oh man, I even played rhythm guitar on like 5 songs on Frankenchrist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't really tell anyone about it. I don't know. It was just a gig I had. It was cool.
No, that's a cool gig, but that seems like the kind of thing that would have gotten out at some point.
No, I don't know. I didn't want to cross-pollinate the two fan bases, right?
Sure. I mean, you'd think, though, that somebody else would have talked, like East Bay Ray or someone.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. He hasn't said anything about it, probably because of the threats.
Because of what?
Threats.
The what?
The threats. John Landau made some threats to, you know, the whole band. Just, it's fine. Look, it's water under the bridge. We don't talk about it anymore. Getting back to the flight.
Yeah.
Between you and me, I heard that they're secretly glad that Pete isn't going up there because he said he was going to recreate that iconic Neil Armstrong moon landing moment.
Yeah.
When he said, that's one small step for a man, that's one giant leap for a baked man. And then he was going to, like Neil, do a power hit of Crippler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that I would be very worried about that if I was going up into space that anyone would go rogue, especially Pete Davidson.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I'm all for letting your freak flag fly, but I don't think that's something that children should be exposed to, you know, like pornography, extreme violence, or Gigi Allen and the Texas Nazis.
Yeah, I think all of that stuff is, those are all equally horrifying.
Yeah, all under one umbrella.
Yeah. Bruce, I understand you having some concerns.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, I feel bad about not paying for the trip. You know, my seat was kind of like a gift, you know, to like an invited guest. So okay. I told them to kind of pay for it. I do a short concert.
In space?
Yeah, yeah. I just hope I can find a guitar chord long enough. That was a joke.
Oh, that was a joke. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. I didn't make you laugh at all tonight.
Sometimes I miss where the jokes are. And that's on me. That's not on you. I think you're very funny.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I actually wrote several of the ad-libs in Anchorman.
You did?
Yeah. You know the part where Will Ferrell and Christina Applegate exchange insults during the crawl after they sign off?
Yeah.
I did several of those.
Well, that was a really funny part of the movie.
Thank you. Yeah, off the top of my head, they were, you're a real hooker and I'm going to slap you in public. You got a real whorish mouth. I'm going to punch you in the ovary, straight shot right in the baby maker.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I know.
A little more aggressive than, well, they sound very aggressive out of context.
I know. And I know those lines have not aged well and could now be seen as flagrantly abhorrent, and I apologize to you and all filmgoers for that.
Well, you don't have to apologize to me or anybody. You made the thing, and it makes sense in the context of the movie. But as standalone quotes, they don't hit the ear as pleasantly as they do in the context of the movie.
Yes, yeah. And if it makes everyone feel any better, they didn't use any of my lines for Anchorman 2.
You struck out with that?
I did, yeah. It was another one of those warm-up scenes where he's doing the tongue twisters to get ready.
Uh-huh.
And mine were like, the dirty dog down in the dungeon is disappointed because he was born to run.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't make the cut.
That didn't make it, and then there's another one that was, the lack of light on Luton Street has led to a darkness on the edge of town.
A lack of light on Luton Street has resulted in a darkness on the edge of town.
Yeah. They didn't go for that either. It was, basically, I did 50 lines all based on my own lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Adam and Will thought I was getting really greedy.
That you were just making it a little too Bruce-centric.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
look, you tried.
I did. You know. Speaking of classic laugher sequels.
Uh huh.
I watched Caddyshack 2 last night.
Caddyshack 2. Wow.
I did. Yeah.
What brought that about?
It was on Hulu. But you know, I gotta say, Tom, not so good.
Yeah, no, Caddyshack 2, not a great reputation.
No. You could practically hear the studio boss yelling, Alan, we need a lot more of the weasel. The kids want to see the weasel way more than they want to see Jason Silverman.
Yeah, the gopher.
Yeah, well, he thinks it's a weasel. That's what's funny.
I got you. Bruce, I apologize. I sometimes miss your sense of humor is sometimes easier to catch than I give it credit for, and also sometimes more dry and harder to catch.
That's why Patty calls me wet and dry.
Oh, that's a odd nickname.
Isn't it? Yeah, but yeah, it's for different reasons, but we don't need to get into that.
God.
You know, I gotta say, if Caddyshack 2 hadn't bombed,
mm-hmm.
You'd be talking to the star of Caddyshack 3 right now.
You would have done Caddyshack 3.
Yeah. They had this whole thing in place where if 2 was a hit, there were going to be 3 more sequels, and I was going to star in the third.
Okay, do you know what character you were going to play? Was there any discussion about that?
Yeah, I was going to be Ty Webb's uptight brother, Wadsworth Y. Webb.
You were going to play an uptight character.
Yes, yeah. But it's already confusing because his name sounds like a question, right?
Yeah. Wadsworth Y. Webb.
Yeah.
It's got a very strange pacing to it.
It does. And, you know, so essentially, Wadsworth was made the new CEO of Web Webbing. That's the company that Ty and Wadsworth's father, Web Webb, founded in 1940.
Web.
Yes, yeah. W-E-B. Mm-hmm. W-E-B-B. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, they made webbing for baseball gloves, which were then farmed out to Rawlings and other sporting good companies.
Other webbings.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
There was going to be a whole long scene where I explain how the webbing is made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was going to be 5 pages of the driest, most technical dialogue anyone's ever heard.
Well, I mean, that's a little odd for a comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point, I asked Arkish if this was going to be an industrial film.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because it was so technical, that stuff. And he said...
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and he said if it didn't do well at the box office, they were hoping to sell it as an industrial flick.
They would have sold Caddyshack 3.
Yeah, yeah.
As an industrial film. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's interesting because the way the whole Caddyshack franchise was going to end was that Caddyshack 5 would merge with what was going to be the fifth and final installment in the Fletch franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which, of course, hinged on Fletch Lives being a hit.
Yeah, which it wasn't.
It wasn't. It tanked. So... basically, the merging point of the two films that were going to be released on the same day, basically there was going to be a caddy scholarship tournament at the end of the fifth Caddyshack where a nuclear device has been placed in one of the golf balls being used.
Uh-huh.
But nobody knows what ball it is.
Yeah.
So if anyone hits that ball, everybody on the East Coast will have, as Ted Knight was supposed to say, had he not croaked in 86, they would have a certain zest for death, for death.
So Ted Knight was going to be in Caddyshack 5.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the cast of Caddyshack 5 would have been you, right? Ted Knight.
Yes.
Is Chevy Chase playing Ty Webb in both movies? Chevy Chase playing Fletch in one and Ty Webb at the same time?
Of course he is. Of course he is. Yeah. See,
okay.
I'll continue. It's also revealed that Bushwood Country Club was built on an ancient Viking burial ground.
Sure. Okay.
And there's a scene towards the end where the game is almost over and there's only two balls left, right, Tom?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One's normal, one's the nuclear bomb.
And who, do you remember, this? Was there a script for this?
Yes, let me continue, Tom. So, right.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Bruce.
That's okay. So right then a big storm rolls in and Ty is hit by lightning. Just like the priest in the first Caddyshack.
Sure.
And at the same time, at the same moment in the fifth Fletch movie, which was going to be called Fletch Rocks.
Fletch Rocks.
Uh-huh. Fletch gets hit by lightning, too, and then both characters morph into one being who was going to be called Fletch. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Teletch?
T-L-E-T-C-H.
T-E-L. Teletch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but it's...
No.
I understand the thought behind it.
Yeah. So, Teletch has the irreverence and golf talent of Ty Webb, but also the cunning and street smarts of Irwin F. Fletcher. So he's kind of a god now.
So the movie, which, I mean, Fletch is a pretty grounded movie in the scheme of things. There's not people with superpowers or anything in Fletch. Caddyshack is a little larger than life with that as you put it, the weasel,
right,
running around. But other than that, it's still based on Earth. But now they're kind of upping the ante by adding in an element where beings are getting morphed by lightning into they're combining into different beings.
Yeah. Super trippy, right?
Yeah, that would have been super trippy.
So both films were to merge into one movie, and I guess moviegoers were supposed to walk out of one of the theaters and then into the other theater in the same Cineplex and then watch the merged movie, which was going to be called Fletch Shack, A New Beginning.
Bruce, this is actually pretty sound and surprisingly well thought out.
Well, I didn't get to the zombie part yet.
Okay, well, nah, it seems like it's about to get less sound and less well thought out.
I don't know. So the zombie element, it was going to be a bunch of dead people who came back to life, and one of them was going to be Fred the Dwarf Dorfman.
Fred Dorfman?
Yes, and of course Marge, his wife, no more alcohol or sedatives in her life after that stay at Trembling Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, so this is pretty elaborate.
Yes, and all I can say, I know it sounds crazy, but everybody was doing rails back then. You know, not me, of course, but I was just excited to get the chance to play a Japanese American.
You were, okay, well, that sounds very problematic.
I know. Basically, Wadsworth was the result of an affair Webb had with a geisha while on a business trip to Japan in 1950.
Uh-huh.
And now that I do think about it, Caddyshack 2 bombing might have been the best thing that ever happened to me.
The best thing that ever happened to you. I don't think you would have lived that down.
I doubt it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, speaking of movies?
Yeah?
Remember I found that box of old demos I was talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I found another one.
You found another box of demos.
I did, yeah. It's full of songs that I pitched to be the title songs for big movies back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay. Well, this is intriguing. Can you share any of them with us?
Well, you know, back then, studios were always reaching out to big names, you know, to do these songs for these films. And I got to say, the only really big one I landed was Streets of Philadelphia, but I wrote songs for pretty much every blockbuster that came out between 81 and 2001.
Really? So over a 20-year period, writing?
Yeah.
What movies?
Well, you know, first let me say, the reason I never got any of those placements, even though I was popular, one of the biggest stars out there, is that I never read any of the scripts.
Okay.
So I write a
probably help would have helped
title. Yeah, so I write things on the title.
Okay, like which ones?
E.T.
Do you remember what you thought it was? E.T. was?
Yeah, I assumed it was about a down on his luck plumber who had those initials.
No, that's pretty far off target.
Yeah. It was a pretty good song, too. It was called This Plunger's for Hire.
Uh-huh.
Which I did recycle later for Dancing in the Dark. And it's weird. Spielberg never even returned my personal calls about it. So that kind of stung, right?
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. There's also Ghostbusters.
Okay. Well, what was the song you did for Ghostbusters?
Well, I thought it was about these bad guys who go into stores where they sell ghost figurines and smash them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ghost figurines.
So, yeah.
What's a ghost figurine?
I don't know. It could be like a snow globe, too. You know, with a ghost in it.
So you thought that somebody was going into gift shops and smashing snow globes that happened to have ghosts inside of them.
Yeah, yeah. The last one I tried was for Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh. And what was your take on that?
Well, I assumed it was about an unscrupulous jeweler preying upon unsuspecting, hardworking couples from the country.
No, it's a pretty... have you seen it since?
No, but I do remember a line from my song.
What was it?
He's the Lord of the Rings. He's going to take your money and sell you crappy things.
I still wish they would have given that song a shot.
I do, too. I do. You know, I did come super close with two songs in addition to Streets of Philadelphia.
What were those?
Well, of course, those were the three scripts I did read, and I just connected with on a very, you know, very real emotional level. They really clicked with me, Streets of Philadelphia and these other two.
The other two were?
Basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, song went something like, you think we're dirt bags, you think we're creeps, but we invented basketball, and we play for keeps.
Okay, I see the hook there.
Thank you. Yeah, and pretty good song.
That sounds pretty good. What was the other movie?
It was a film called Mr. Brooks.
Yeah. Kevin Costner movie.
Oh, it's such a good film, and the song was something like, "You got to stay away from Mr. Brooks. He's gonna stab you in the neck." And then his daughter will do that. See, I call that the tippy toe when I go high.
Sure, and you don't, it doesn't seem like a regular move in your playbook.
I don't do it because I can only do it in flip flops, and that's a bad look for the boss on stage.
I would think so. For you to have to change for one song, because you wouldn't open. It's not like you'd close the show with Mr. Brooks to where you'd come back out for the encore in bare feet.
No, true.
And you're not going to start the show and then sit down and put your boots on.
No, it's true. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just wouldn't have worked. So another lucky thing that didn't. Oh, no.
Wait, what's going on?
Oh, no.
Bruce, what's wrong?
Well, I guess what they say about the best show being the favorite podcast of Hollywood's most successful bearded ball cap wearing directors is true.
Why?
Spielberg must have heard me say I recycled that E.T. song for Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
And he sent a carload of his henchmen to cream my ass. That didn't sound disturbing at all, did it?
Well, a little disturbing. A little bit.
Yeah. Better choice of words, I'm sure.
But I get what you're trying to say. So there's a carload of henchmen hovering around?
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to, you know, to recycle that song because, you know, he owns the publishing on it because I signed it over for the movie that he didn't even use it for.
Wow. Well,
I mean, and I gotta say, Tom, I'm actually kind of offended. He's never heard "Dancing in the Dark," and it was a fucking huge hit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's true. I can't believe I didn't know Bruce would not have that kind of Bruce that Spielberg would not have that kind of awareness of the charts.
Maybe he didn't have a radio back then. I don't know. Look, all right. Well, Tom, looks like Boss is going to be hiding in his basement for the foreseeable future. All right.
Well. Please watch out and be safe.
Thank you. Seriously, buddy, I just want to say, I've never been in as much trouble as I've been in since we became eternal blood brothers.
Yeah, I'm not sure we are, but since you've been calling, you have entered into a fair amount of craziness.
Well, Tom, I agree with everything you said except for the fact that we might not be blood brothers.
Okay. Well, We'll talk about that at a later date. Hello, Bruce. Well, he's gone. How about weird? The boss moving in weird ways. Pat, give me another call, please. Hello, hi, best show.
One second. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I had to turn the show off.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. To whom am I speaking?
Everly.
Everly. Everly. Have you called before?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you? Oh, I remember, Everly. You call, and you're the kid who you were the kid who won the earthworm eating contest, right?
What?
That's who you were, right? Well, it's exciting. How many worms did you eat in that?
I'm kind of grossed out by worms. Like, it's nothing to worms.
Well, then it's even more impressive that you won the contest.
I wrote the Gary the Squirrel song.
Everly, I'm just teasing you a little bit. I know who you are.
I know.
How are you doing, Everly?
Good.
How's school going?
Pretty good. I took a vacation to California, and on the way, I fractured my wrist.
What?
I fractured my wrist.
You fractured your wrist? How'd you do that?
Trees. Tall trees.
Okay. You fell out of a tree or you banged it into a tree?
I kind of jumped out of the tree.
Okay. What were you doing in the tree in the first place?
Well,
climbing a tree to be funny?
I was at my grandpa's house, and he has, like, a clubhouse thing, but I'm too big for it because my head is filled with spider webs. So I thought, well, if I'm going to climb something, maybe this tree was, like, it used to have a treehouse in it. Not a smart idea. Nope.
Well, Everly, I want to say this, and you were at your grandparents when that happened?
I was at my grandparents' house.
Well, I want to say this. Who's there? Do you have a parent around by any chance?
I have my dad right next to me.
And what state is your wrist in right now, Everly?
I'm wearing a sling, but it's not that bad.
All right, here's what you're gonna do, if you would.
Okay.
You're gonna go up to your dad. Is he nearby?
Yeah, he's close.
All right, so you got to repeat after me on this.
Okay.
What's his first name? Keith?
Kevin.
This is what I want you to go. You're going to start if you're going to go, yo, Kevin.
Yo, Kevin.
What's up?
He said, what's up?
Okay, I heard. You're going to say, you see this? You have a cast on your wrist?
Oh, yeah.
See this cast on my wrist?
Dad, do you see this cast on my wrist?
Kevin, do you see this cast on my wrist?
Kevin, do you see this cast on my wrist? I said, yeah.
This wouldn't have happened.
This wouldn't have happened.
If you weren't so cheap.
If you weren't so cheap.
And I had to... If you would have just taken me to a water park.
If you just taken me to a water park.
I wouldn't have to climb trees for fun.
I wouldn't have to climb trees for fun.
What is this? Say this. What is this? The early 1900s?
What is this? The early 1900s?
What's next?
What's next?
You want me to run around with a stick and a hoop?
You want me to run around with a stick and a hoop?
Open that wallet, El Cheapo.
Open that wallet, El Cheapo.
say this to him.
You think Apple Pay?
Say this to him, Dad. Say, Kevin, I love you.
Kevin, I love you.
But you can't take it with you.
But you can't take it with you. He said it's Grandpa's fault. He's blaming Grandpa.
Passing the buck to Grandpa.
He can't take responsibility of his own actions.
Well, I want you, the next time you see your grandfather, to play this segment. And it applies to Grandpa also.
Okay.
This family's got to start cracking their wallets open. Kevin. Yo, Kevin.
Yo, Kevin.
I didn't realize that we had dinosaur blood in our family.
That we had dinosaur blood in our family.
Because clearly you're half Tyrannosaurus Rex. With those tiny arms that can't reach into your pocket to take your wallet out. Good. Now we took care of that.
Yes, that is all taken care of.
Yes, that feels like that has been addressed. So, Everly, what's going on?
Not a lot. I do have something for the topic, though.
Ooh, let's hear it.
So, I have a quick question. Is it, would it suck to be these people? Like, would it suck to be these fictional characters?
Say that again?
Like, is it, when you say suck, would these fictional characters suck, do you mean like it would suck to be them?
No, it would suck to know them.
Ooh, okay. Well, I do have one, but, there's one weird one, the mask from The Mask. He's just plain weird.
So it'd be annoying to be hanging around with the mask.
No, it'd just be creepy. It'd be odd.
Sticking his tongue out and all the stuff and swinging a mallet around. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. There's also, I'm trying to remember her name, Black Widow. Almost everyone she really knows tends to die around her.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
That would really suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prepared a bunch of, I have a bunch of people that would just suck to be them.
Okay, what would that be? Who are some of those?
Literally every female character from DC and Marvel.
Like it would suck to be any character?
Any female character. All the girls are crapped on. Even the ones that aren't superheroes. Like, MJ, her memory's wiped and she forgets the love of her life, Spider-Man. And then there's Rogue from X-Men who can't touch anyone. Harley Quinn is just abused by the Joker. Catwoman is an orphan who's eaten by cats. Gamora's, her whole planet's destroyed by Thanos. She's kidnapped by Thanos, and then Thanos just pushes her off like a cliff for an Infinity Stone. And then Wanda's brother's killed, her family's killed, and then Vision's killed by Thanos, and all of them died in front of her. And Wonder Woman can't see her family, and she loses the love of her life two times.
So I'll say this first of all, I want to say. I give you a ton of credit for two things. One, this is incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
And you're spot on with this. So many of the characters do come from these abusive dynamics and get brutalized, but invariably it seems like the female characters or the non-guy characters seem to get an inordinate amount of abuse and grief thrown their way.
Yes.
But I will say that's one of the things I'm going to congratulate you on. The second thing is clearly you watched all of that second Wonder Woman movie. How'd you do that?
Lots of candy. Candy and popcorn.
Lots of candy.
And breaks. We had to like stop. You can't watch someone sitting or your brain.
I don't think there's enough candy in the world to help me get through that movie.
You need candy, popcorn, and you have to take breaks.
I did take a break. I'm currently still on it. The break started Christmas of 2020 when that movie came out. Mm-hmm. I still am on that break.
Oh,
it has been a year and a half break I'm taking. before I finish that movie.
Yeah, well, I kind of spoiled the end of it because...
That's okay.
Yeah, the end.
I had my chance.
He's gone again. He goes. And she has to, he doesn't just leave. She has to tell him to go. Cause stuff happens to her because he's there, because she used that wish thing. So she has to tell him to go. And she has to watch him go. Like, it's not fun. Doesn't look fun.
That wish thing was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. When that guy was make a wish. Do you wish it?
Yeah, I
was watching that movie and I was saying, I was closing my eyes and I was making a wish. And then I realized that I wasn't in that world because every time I opened my eyes, the movie was still playing.
Yeah, that sounds
I had right. one wish and it was to please make this movie end.
Nope.
No, it didn't.
It keeps going and going and mm-hmm. going. And
I think it's
going.
Still going, yeah. What movies do you ends. Like, though, Everly? What's a movie you like?
I like 13 Going on 30.
Ah, I saw that.
And Miss Congeniality.
I saw that, too.
The second one isn't that good, though.
No, it's not.
The sequels are never good.
No.
The sequels are never as good as the first movie. I'm trying to think of something else. I had one. I know I did. It would, I do like the Harry Potter movies, as I said when I first called in. And as you said, you had no idea what I was talking about.
I went on that Harry Potter ride at, Universal Studios.
What?
And I almost threw up. I almost threw up. Yeah.
Oh. Wait, what was the ride?
You get in a little seat and it, first, here's the ride. There's two stages to the ride. Stage one is you wait online for 90 minutes.
Okay, not including one. Actual
That part, the first half of the ride, not so good. The 90 minutes of waiting online, in line, before I get yelled at again by people. People yell at me because I say online, and they're like, oh, you were on a computer? No, I was in line, okay? You happy? But
well, it is a weird name, online.
Thank you, Everly. You get it. But so
I
waited online forever. Then mm-hmm. that ride starts and it's throwing you all over the place, up, down, left,
what
right.
What are you in?
And suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm gonna barf. I almost quit all over everybody.
Oh, you were on like a broomstick?
Something like that. Like, they made it seem like you're flying around playing Quidditch or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound like... That sounds like you're going to get sick. I don't see how people don't get sick when they fly on brooms.
I got off that ride. I just... All I could do was sit and stare at the ground and wait for the nausea to pass.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
It's not fun at all. It really sucks.
Mm-hmm. So what else is going on, Everly?
Well, I told you I fractured my wrist. That my birthday is on Thursday, so that's happening.
Well, I want to tell you. Let me be the first to say to you, Everly, happy birthday.
Thank you, Tom.
Is this the big one? Now you can drive.
No, I'm turning 12, not 16. Wait, no, wait, it's 16. Yeah, it's 16. I'm not turning 16. Yeah. I'm still in middle school.
You can go to a bar now, right, and have a cold one. Right?
A beer? I can't have beer, no.
You could go to a, you now you can go to a bar and say, give me a cold beer.
No, you have to be 21 to have a beer.
Okay, I thought it was 12.
12? I feel like that wouldn't end well.
It wouldn't end well. Well, it doesn't end well for people that are 21.
That's because they decide to drink too much, and that's kind of their fault. So,
yeah.
Don't drink and drive, people!
Yeah, thank you, Everly, for that message. This is what I want you to say. to your dad. Say, yo, Kevin.
Oh, wait, I gotta call him in. One second. Yo, Kevin!
Go get me a cold. Go grab me a cold one.
Go get me a cold beer.
No, not a cold beer. Say, yo, Kevin, go get me a cold one.
Hey, Kevin, go get me a cold one.
And say a cold glass of water, that is, because I'm not old enough to drink.
A cold glass of water, that is, because I'm not old enough to drink. He's dying. Busting out. What else can we say?
Well, what are you going to do for your birthday?
I'm just going to see some family. I don't really want a big party or anything.
Well, sounds like you do, though. Family. Sounds like you've been like, oh, I don't want a big party. But meanwhile, you're like, oh, I hope I get a big party.
No,
what if you got
really.
A big surprise party? What if it was a big surprise party?
Well, no one would come except my family because of COVID.
Yeah, that's true.
If I did get a big surprise party, they better have Harry Potter decorations. That's the only thing. Harry Potter decorations.
Yeah.
That would be the big request there.
Sure. What character would you want to see hanging from your wall?
That's a really hard one. Oh, there's so many good ones. I guess Hermione? Hermione's one of the really good ones.
Okay.
Buckbeak. I guess he's not
Buckbeak,
really
Buckbeak, the dog, right? The flying dog.
No, Buckbeak is a hippogriff. It's like a griffin, except it's half eagle, half horse.
Okay, so you got Buckbeak, you got Gooby. What's Gooby's name again? Gooby, right?
Gooby, you mean Dobby? Dobby?
Dobby. Oh.
House elf?
Nobody likes Gooby or Dobby.
Everyone loves Dobby. No one likes him at first, but by the end of the second book, everyone loves Dobby.
And he gets flushed down a toilet in the thing?
No! He punishes himself when he gives Harry information he shouldn't be, but then he's freed, and so, yeah. Oh, I just spoiled that.
I heard he gets flushed down a toilet in the final thing.
No, he does not get flushed down the toilet.
And what's the main bad guy's name?
Voldemort, or he who must not be named.
No, it's different. What is the bad guy's name?
Voldemort, or he
No,
who
I don't
must
think
not
that's
named...
it. Oh, no, it's J.K. Rowling.
What? No, she's the writer, you see. Oh, yeah, she's in Hufflepuff House. She took her quiz. She got Hufflepuff. So, yeah, no, she's not the bad guy.
Okay, well, you'll find out soon enough.
All right,
my
book.
Friend. I'm going to take some other calls because I got a whole phone bank here, and other people want to get on the show. We're going to share, but your birthday's coming up in a couple days, and it's very exciting. And I say happy birthday to you, Everly. I love
Thanks,
when you
Tom.
Call. You're always fun.
Thank you.
Okay, you have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Do 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 do. Boop boop boop. Boo do 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 do. Any word from Anna?
Let me check the Zoom.
Check the Zoom, please. If you could.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
All right. Let's do it. Do it. Please bring on my guest, if you could. I have a special guest. This is one of our segments on the show. A lot of the time we have these people on the show, and they're... this is a segment I call... It's kind of the Tomorrow's Stars segment of the show. Where we hand the show over to the... Because sometimes this show, you look at it and you think sometimes it skews too old and you think this might as well be a McDonald's at 8 a.m. filled with old timers sitting around drinking that small coffee at McDonald's and nursing a USA Today But as they say, the youth must be served. And they also say youth gone wild. Sonic, I believe Sonic Youth had a song called Youth Gone Wild. Oh, wait, no, that was Skid Row. But in a nod to, instead of looking to yesterday, which we got all these people on talking about, doing the Hucklebuck and, 23 Skidoo, Oh You Kid, talking about, gas rationing and, chip beef and stone soup and, all that. We need to look. This is the 21st century, gang. We gotta start shoving some of these fossils, out to sea. And the show needs to have contemporary voices anymore. We can't just be arguing over which birds you like better, the one that had, Ron Wood in it or the one with Roger McGuinn. We can't do that anymore, guys. And that's why we have on one of the top performers of today, Anna Sarafina.
I mean, wow.
And this is one of the top comedians in the business. And I say comedians, but Anna can do so much more than just comedy.
Yeah. Thank you. And I skew very young.
Exactly.
Yeah, I skew young. Yeah. So
it's like if you want to get, you think of me and you think of things like Oldsmobiles and, and you think of like old 78s that you could pick up and check out, and you think of just like hip surgery and things like that. Those are the things I evoke. We get an Anna Sarafina on the show. You think of TikTok and you think of Machine Gun Kelly and you think of all the things that the kids are into, whether it's Machine Gun Kelly or
TikTok. There's no Jello Biafra slander here. Because I skew younger than that.
Yeah, that's not.
So you think of really TikTok and.
No, you think of Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly, yeah, exactly.
And, like, I'm cut from the cloth. When I say jackass, I say, Johnny Knoxville and Bam Margera. And when Anna Sarafina says jackass, she's talking about poopies.
Poopies, yeah. I'm talking about poopies.
And Zach.
The woman. Yeah,
And Rachel Wolfson.
Thank you.
Is that her name? Rachel Wolfson?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm cut from the... I say... And when Anna says, who's like an old-timer, a jackass? She goes, Dark Shark, of course.
Of course.
And I say, what about Phil Margera?
Uh-huh.
It's the forever fascinating generation gap.
Well, it's the passing of the torch, right? That's what it's all about.
Yes. It's Dave England passing the torch to poopies.
Absolutely. It's exactly the torch being passed to poopies, and specifically that, actually. Mostly that.
Look, nobody was more excited about that Jackass movie than I was. The second they were just like, this is poopies, I was almost like, yeah, I think I'm out. I think I might go up and leave. I'm seeing it the night it comes out.
You're leaving.
In a theater.
And you're out the door.
And suddenly I'm just like, I think I might leave. There's a guy named Poopies in this. It's 6 minutes in.
That's all it took.
I don't know if I can, and as far as the human goes, perfectly fine. It's just the name.
The name, you go, I can't do this. My generation, a name meant something.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah. Now, well, I want to understand how you live, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It was a look behind the curtain because you look and you see Johnny Knoxville. Suddenly you're like, why is the hair on his head a different color than it was in the first one?
Exactly. And you know what's nice is for the chicks, there was in Just Like That, and we had that with Miranda. But for the fellas, we have Jackass, and we have that conversation with Johnny Knoxville. So it's actually a great year.
And just like that, yes. Did you feel heard and seen and represented and Just Like That between some of the fun young characters in that, like Miranda's son, who is apparently a weird, inappropriate sex addict.
Yeah, I know that's me.
Whose girlfriend orders inappropriate items that are shipped to their house.
On Amazon. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I just had it sent over here. Why?
Yeah. What? That means in her Amazon account, she's got a couple of addresses at least.
She's scrolling through those addresses going, yeah, let's send it to the Hobbs house.
There's 2-3 addresses in there. I mean, pick your poison.
Yeah. And it's just like, was it like a sex toy or something that got sent to the house? And then like, that's my package. Why would you ever have that delivered to someone else's house?
And no, Tom, that's the thing. That's what youth is all about. We're, you know, I'm very much in there. I'm in there, you know, so same thing. I'll get an Amazon package delivered to anyone's house. Sure. I don't care.
You get it. And it's like, you get it because you're, I watch and Just Like That, and I see myself in a Charlotte, and I see myself in it. You watch and you see Rock, and you're like, oh, yeah. I'm kind of like Rock, and I'm kind of like Lily, and I'm kind of like Miranda's disgusting son. But there was one character that we all saw a little bit of ourselves in. We all know who that is, of course.
We all know who that is.
Jay Diaz.
I mean, I look at them and I go, I don't care who you are. That's me.
Everybody screamed at the same time. Just like when they would always say that the water supply goes down during the commercials in the Super Bowl because everybody's using the toilet at the same time and flushing. Mm-hmm. Everyone in America screamed, that's me.
I thought maybe the Laugh Factory website goes down during the commercial breaks of Just Like That. Because people are just overwhelming
website. Look, today is a day for celebration, Anna, because
Hillary Clinton got COVID?
No. I'm not. What kind of celebrating are you doing over at that house of yours?
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you.
You're just like, yeah.
Well, you know what I appreciated about her tweeting about COVID is that she added kind of a flirty, and I am taking movie recommendations. And you know me, I'm a film lover. Mm-hmm. I want to get in there. I want to get in the discourse.
Did you send her any recommendations?
I go solo.
Wait, what? What was that?
You know, solo? Pasolini solo?
Oh, yeah, okay, great. Why don't you just recommend, Berlin Alexander Plots?
Yes, exactly.
While you're at it.
Close second.
Yeah. Hey, hey, Hillary, how up on Fassbender are you? Wanna check this one out?
Hey, what about plopping on Martyrs and just cozying out with Bill?
Yeah. Have you seen any of these Les Blank
the films? Documentaries are.
Yeah. Things worth checking out. If I had the feeling that I had a spike going down the center of my forehead that will not stop, which is what COVID was like for me. Oh, I would love it if somebody recommended, say, an early Males Brother Salesman. Why don't you watch Salesman?
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah.
I will say this. When I had COVID, I would rather have gotten a job as a rodeo clown before I would have watched anything on Criterion Channel.
No, you didn't feel, you didn't use the time wisely.
I wasn't just like, now's a chance to really brush up on some of these things. Some of these things are leaving.
Yeah, you didn't take the opportunity to deep dive into Tarkovsky.
No, exactly. Yeah, let me really, this is a good time. Let me, I'll watch Drive My Car 3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. I saw Drive My Car in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quietest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Let me ask you this, Tom. Are you Stubbs?
Do I use Stubbs?
Yeah.
I have. I'm currently not, not utilizing, Stubbs.
No. You're abstaining.
I'm abstubbing.
Wow. Okay. See, this is, that's why you're the Che Diaz.
That's, now. I'm going to send that one in. Yeah. If anybody has the fax number for the, and just like that writer's room, I want to just get that joke in the mix.
We got to get you staffed.
I got to get staffed.
You got to get staffed.
Could you imagine?
Yes. The
menu order going around in that room.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Sweet Green again? Great.
Absolutely. Every day Sweet Green, of course. Yeah.
Fine. I guess I'll get the fish taco thing. So,
local Anna, flavor.
Anna, you are a comedian, you're an actor, you're a writer, but what you are known as in 2022 is a podcaster.
Okay, so see, when you go, which character do you identify with from and just like that, I go, I identify actually with the podcast.
Yes, that portion. It is kind of like a Rorschach where you look and you see yourself in different ways. And my favorite podcasts are the ones that deal with very seriously with gender issues, but also have a soundboard where somebody's playing fart sounds and I don't think so or whatever was. Like,
well, it's an art form for today, you know?
But that was like, that was almost like they were writing the show and they're just like, well, I haven't heard one of these podcasts everybody's talking about, but I have heard the Z Morning Zoo. Yes. And is that what a podcast is? Well, let's just do that as a thing.
Yeah, the amount of research that went into podcasting and comedy.
Yeah.
Was impressive.
Yeah. And
to say the least, yeah.
I love that Che Diaz was like, I'm going to LA, so I'm quitting the podcast. That was literally the most unrealistic thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh yeah, no, you can't come to Los Angeles and do a podcast.
No.
By any there's no way to make that work.
Yeah. So podcast is for New York. And pilots are for LA. So that's the breakdown.
Do you think that Tony Danza was mad when he heard that they referenced him as auditioning for the part? And he's just like, hey, I don't audition anymore. What are you doing to me? I'm offer only.
I'm offer only. Yeah.
You're going to say I'm auditioning? I'm not auditioning to play Che Diaz's father. They can make me an offer.
I mean, they can make me an offer.
We'll see if I can refuse it.
Exactly. And I guess we'll have to wait and see if I refuse it.
But Anna, you have done a season of a podcast called Truth Hounds.
Truth Hounds, yeah.
And season 2 is about to begin.
Can I even do you one better?
Oh, yeah, please.
I mean, it began today.
Season 2 of Truth Hounds began today. Now,
so guess what?
What's that?
I come to you on the day of kind of my daughter's wedding.
Look at this. come to me on the day of, we're kind of blurring the characters into each other. You're coming to me, but it's my show. And
yeah, so she's our
I'm
daughter.
I'm not sure what any of this means exactly. Who owes who a favor now? I'm not sure. Like,
yeah,
it's not exactly tracking, but,
well, that's the difference between your generation and my generation. With your generation, it's all Johnny Knoxville and whose daughter is it? And with my generation, it's Poopies and it's kind of the community's daughter, you know?
Yes. And like you said, for your, you have that, your friend with COVID said it takes a village.
My good friend with COVID. You know what else my good friend with COVID said?
What's that?
And this is disgusting. In some speech, she goes, she's talking about kids. And she goes, and we have to think about even our littlest citizens. And I can't get that out of my head.
That's truly awful.
To call
children our littlest citizens.
They're just our littlest citizens.
Yeah. By all means, let's hustle them up into adulthood.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with things. Like kids are being kids for too long.
No, they're and adults. Yeah, exactly.
What a weird
pick up a
world.
Room, earn your keep, you know?
Anna, we're in a world now where people are in a rush to make kids adults, but when they become adults, they do nothing but act like kids.
Oh, God, don't I know it.
Where they're like, because usually with like wrestling, and I'm not putting people down who like wrestling. You like wrestling. God bless you. Go all day and pretend you're Hulk Hogan or whoever your hero is, and you jump off the turnbuckle and you slam Gary Hart or whatever the guy's name was.
Something like that.
But like wrestling was the kind of thing where in the 50s, it was for just like people to just go see live and laugh at.
Yeah.
Or to like that, like it was just like a thing that was just like, yeah, it's wrestling. Uh-huh. Some people think it's real. Some people don't, but nobody was like living and dying with it. Now it's like, but then when like this new generation aged up, they're just like, no, wrestling is still ours. We're not giving it back to children.
Yes.
And they did the same thing with comic books, and they did the same thing with like Star Wars, where they're just like, I hate Jar Jar Binks. He's the worst. It's like, well, I got news for you. Check C-3PO out one of these days. And you realize you had a Jar Jar Binks when you were a kid. His name was C-3PO. And he was super annoying.
And yeah.
You had yours. Don't take it away from kids.
Wow. You're slandering Jello Biafra now. I mean, George now Star
and
Wars.
C-3PO. I'm going after the Bay Area.
You really are. Really,
the Bay Area is really taking it on the chin tonight over on the best show between, you know what, in Lucas films, they're furious. Skywalker Ranch, they don't know what to do now. They're probably trying to keep... Don't let George hear this.
Absolutely. Don't. Daily City is whispering. Yeah. Don't let George hear this. Yeah.
Tell George there was no new best show this week.
Make sure you go to him and tell him there's no new best show.
Yeah. Tell George, pretty weird there was no best show this week, huh?
You just say it casually. Don't just say, say it in the middle of of another thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, George, you check out, you watch the Beatles documentary?
Oh yeah.
there's no new best show this week. What a weird time, huh?
It's a weird time because you got the documentary, but no new best show at the same time. It's kind of crazy.
George, did you watch Love Is Blind season 2? That was pretty nuts. And now there's no best show this week.
It's naming just a couple of things that there aren't this week. There's no Bachelor. That's over. Yeah. No new best show. That's just, I don't know where that is.
And, you just front load, then you hope he doesn't hear me saying Jar Jar Binks and C-3PO are the same.
Yeah, we'll front load it. Don't worry about that.
So now tell me, Anna, Truth Hounds there's some sort of, what is the skydiving thing now with your show? And first of all, what is Truth? Tell people who don't know what Truth Hounds is, what it is.
And I fear there are a few of them.
Again, for people, the Bay Area, I want to mention, what is this? the way Mr. Bungle would say, another Bay Area.
Wow.
He said, what is it? So tell people what wow. is it, and it being your podcast.
The podcast. So the podcast I co-host and co-make with Kyle Mazzono, who earnestly wanted to be here tonight but could not.
Okay.
Busy. But we kind of we investigate things like, why does time fly by when you're having fun? Why are some people mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why are some people late?
Sure. So you're trying to get to the bottom of these.
Yeah. And so to give you an example from season one, why does time fly by when you're having fun? We go, well, let's check out what happens when we don't have fun. Hey, let's go stare at a wall at Costco for 10 minutes. Let's see what happens then. Watch what happens live.
Sure. What happens live. Well, I would say that would depend on which wall you were looking at Costco.
Yes. And we chose West.
Okay.
The Western Wall of Costco. And
what was on that Western Wall?
Nothing. Brown as day.
And you were not having fun.
We had fun because people kept stopping to look at Kyle, and I kept saying that she looked like Dr. Demento. So we unfortunately did have fun. So
yeah, people were
that one
like,
didn't fly.
Why is that? Why is Dr. Demento at Dr. Costco?
I mean, why is this woman so close to the wall of Costco? I mean, that's just too close. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Get a now, did Kyle? Did Kyle have a little horn? Was no. Kyle going like?
No.
Like Dr. Demento?
No. Acoustic. She was
top hat?
She went unplugged. No hat at all. If you could believe it.
And was Kyle saying like, hello, everybody. And
she wasn't
we're
saying,
going to hear Barnes and Barnes with fish heads up next.
I am telling you, Tom, absolutely not. She had no accoutrements, and yet she still looked like Dr. Demento. It was her spirit.
That's a powerful spirit.
That's why we have to get a podcast. We go, her spirit's too powerful. Let's get a podcast going about this. Well, so
that was season one.
That's season one. That's gone for. We recorded an episode about moving dirt. We go, let's go where podcasting hasn't gone before. Let's move dirt.
Sure. Okay.
So we did that.
You moved some dirt around.
If you're asking, we moved dirt around. Yeah. This season, I mean, episode one, I mean, what happened is that in season one, we got a 1-star review on iTunes. And so we kind of investigate that.
And I'm sure that ended in a very satisfying.
Oh yeah,
that was just that you reached a satisfying. You put a nice bow around it, and you feel like you could just move forward now from that.
I mean, it felt like a day at the spa, you know. So it just I felt comfortable. I felt satisfied. And so we go, I mean, look, I'm here. I'm getting the coveted best show bump. And yes. That doesn't, you know, that I don't take that lightly.
Sure. Sure. Now, what is the skydive? Tell me about skydiving.
Well, so we go other than the coveted best show bump, what can we do to promote the podcast? And so we go, what if we go skydiving? And so we did that. We went skydiving. I go, let's go skydiving, and we'll yell the name of the podcast, and we'll make the instructor yell it too. And we'll get a nice video. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, people are listening to the podcast. Well,
and that worked out.
That worked. I mean, we drive to Paris, California.
Mm-hmm.
We do go skydiving. I get strapped to a guy. I mean, you're just strapped to a guy.
Is
the thing I really want to underline. That I didn't really take that into consideration. Things I didn't take into consideration are that you're just strapped to a guy for a while. So you're just hanging out with, you know, a guy.
Mm-hmm. That you've and, never met before.
No. And then you're also, you're just in your regular outfit. So your street clothes get to take a little road trip to the sky.
Okay. And
so you're just in your jeans up there.
So you're dressed as if you were going to go to Chipotle.
Yeah, I'm dressed like I'm going to Chipotle.
But now it turns out you were also dressed to jump out of a plane.
I'm going to Chipotle eventually, but I take a little pit stop, you know. I kind of fall out of the sky.
I would, I don't know if I could do it.
Well, here's what I will say. You're not really making, once you're strapped to the guy, mm-hmm. and I really want to highlight that you're strapped to a guy. You're not really making the decision, you know, like you're not even making the decision to step out of the plane. He's going and you're like his plus one. Mm-hmm. So you're doing very little, actually.
All you're doing is just like participating in gravity.
Yeah. He's going, you go, you know, I'm already here. So,
mm-hmm.
So, but my favorite part is that. You know, you're falling. Honestly, it kind of sucks. It really hurts and it's just really uncomfortable physically. But
what part hurts? The wind, the smashing wind you hurt. In the face nonstop?
Nonstop. I mean, you're not getting a moment of breathing time.
Mm-hmm.
The goggles, they're hurting your head. The pressure is insane. It really hurts. You're drooling, truth be told. This isn't glamorous.
And do they have like some weird GoPro aimed at your face to sell you your own footage of you looking absolutely. Like a weird melting person?
Absolutely. With royalty free music.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of splattered all over the video. Where you go, it goes. Mm-hmm. This royalty free music. So I really love that. I wonder who's in charge of those decisions. But once the parachute opens, you're kind of free floating.
Uh-huh. For was that nice? 15,
it was kind of nice. It's very quiet. It's very 15 peaceful. 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
So Tom, here's where here's where I'm coming from. I'm strapped to this guy. 15 mm-hmm. minutes. I start trying to make small talk. Okay.
While you're thousands of feet above the ground.
Well, you know, you see, it looks so, you're so far away, you're so high up that it doesn't look real, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only so many times you could go, that's crazy.
Yeah, there's that whole thing where it becomes, I felt that way when I saw, to a lesser scale, when I saw in Las Vegas, I saw the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show. And I was just like, so it starts off and you're like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing I ever saw before. They're flying all over the place. They're bouncing yeah. off trampolines. Everything is death defying. You cannot believe what you saw. After like 15 minutes, you're just like, it's still as death defying as it was, but I became incredibly numb to all of it. And it was just kind of like, okay. Oh, they're playing Help. And
they're playing Help.
And they're bouncing. They're doing BMX bike stunts. It's still just as risky as anything else in the show. But I'm just so numb at this point.
You know when I didn't feel numb? Is in the Criss Angel Las Vegas show.
Wait, which one's that? Mind Freak? Or the new one?
The new one.
What's the new one called?
No Refunds?
No Refunds.
You know, I don't remember. I should have.
I think it starts with an A, if I remember correctly.
Animaniacs.
It was Animaniacs and it was at the Warner Brothers water tank.
I mean, I've actually, you know what? I got to come clean. I've seen Mind Freak too. I've seen both shows.
Sure. You're a Criss Angel head.
I'm an absolute Criss Angel head.
I saw Mind Freak. I did see Mind Freak.
Did you have a wonderful time?
Oh yeah. My favorite part is when he was just like, when he cuts to all the people saying like, levitate me, Chris. And then, and then like there's this video montage is like, And then it's like, then there's like Shaq on it. It's like, hey, yes. Chris, hey, yeah. Chris, levitate me.
That's a and really good like, chat.
Wow. Hey, it's a big chat. And, but he was like, and then he did this levitation stunt.
Yes.
And it was kind of like, he kind of didn't do it also in a way. Like he did. Cause it's like the whole thing with Chris Angel is,
yeah.
If you have half a brain in your head, you'd know all of it is just wires. There's just like,
oh, yeah.
It's just yeah. Like, but it's not even like a kind of magic where you're like, how? I know it's a trick, but I don't know how. It's like, you know, at Chris Angel that it's all a trick and you know how.
You know exactly how.
It's all wires.
But then he, you know what the real element of magic is?
That Buffalo accent of his.
Okay, that is one. You know what the other one is?
I feel
is?
Like that's the most magical part of the whole show.
You're not
this guy clearly from upstate New York just being like, I like magic.
Yeah, he's like, hey, how you doing? About magic. You guys want to see magic?
But it's got like that slight, yeah, it's just a weird act. Like he's from upstate and yeah. You're just like, okay, I guess we're in the hands of a dude from Syracuse is gonna.
Yeah, he's a big Syracuse guy.
You guys like garbage plates?
Yeah.
You get them with SUNY Binghamton.
I gotta tell you, when I saw Mind Freak, mm-hmm. there weren't that many people there. Mm-hmm. And it was a really incredible experience because I bought the cheapest seats mm-hmm. and I got there and this woman who turned out to be the janitor, which would be important later. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of foreshadowing for you. She goes, you can sit in the fifth row. No one comes. And I go, mm-hmm. oh, okay. So I sit in the fifth row.
Those are his comp. Those are like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very sparsely, modestly attended. Modest attendance.
Okay.
And we've all been there. Yeah. And the video, this was at the Luxor at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. Did you see it at the Luxor or somewhere else?
Is that the one shaped like a pyramid?
Yes.
Then that's where I saw it.
Okay. So you know how in the beginning he starts, you see the video of him standing at the tip of the Luxor?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. but in the video, it's daytime. Mm-hmm. And but when I was there, it was already nighttime outside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess he just didn't adjust the video for daylight savings time.
No, he didn't get around to that.
No.
Very busy.
He's a busy guy.
He's got time to even out the continuity on the the introductory magic in the show.
You got to check in on Jonathan Davis. I mean, there's a lot of stuff he's got to do. You know, he's busy.
Checking on the guy from Korn.
Yeah, he's very busy. He's checking in on the guy from Korn. How you doing? You know, how you doing? What's going on?
So you're in the fifth row.
Okay, so I'm in the. You don't want to talk about Jonathan Davis, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
He's in the fifth row. I'm in the fifth row. Mm-hmm. And because there aren't that many people there, you can tell right away who's a plant because they're dressed simply, no other word comes to mind other than fabulous. I mean, they're really dressed very well. Mm-hmm. And so when he pulls this woman who's, I mean, essentially in a gown mm-hmm. up on stage and she does a song and dance, she goes, oh my, me? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could quite. I mean, you know, I don't. Okay, I guess I will.
Yeah.
So that was really funny. This did have what's the sexy show? Because this was in collaboration, in cahoots with the sexy show. Some other Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, there was like a dirty Cirque du Soleil show.
Well. I go, how are they in cahoots? When's that going to come play a factor? He goes, here comes Tanya from the name of the show. Forgive me for forgetting.
Sure. Yes.
She comes out and he goes, do you guys like Tanya? We go, yeah, you know, sure. He goes, do you want to see Tanya disappear? And we go, sure. Yeah. He makes her disappear. That was the end of Tanya.
Mm-hmm. If I was Chris Angel at this point, what I would do. I would come out and claim that I made half the audience disappear. Yes. I'd say, I pulled the Thanos. I just got rid of half the audience. And now really it's just good. Me, you just blame it on his, just take credit for why there's nobody there.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you're good. Well, yeah.
If my Chris favorite Angel would only part, hire me to write for him.
I honestly would love that. I mean, we got to get you in that room.
I'd go from the And Just Like That writer's room right into the Chris Angel.
We got to get you staff.
Junior room. Yeah.
That's right. But my favorite part is that he, some doves flew out of his sleeves, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but because the theater was nearly empty, I saw them hit the back wall and die.
Oh my God.
and then the janitor lady from earlier had to go sweep them up. So, I mean, that's worth.
Yeah.
That's no amount of money. I mean, I would pay $1,000 to see this.
Yeah. I would say, Chris, congratulations. You made my will to live disappear.
Oh, wow. They need you there. They need you in the room.
The way the way you killed those animals.
Yeah.
During the show.
Definitely.
No animals were harmed during the, wait, some animals were harmed.
Some animals were harmed. Of course. Do you know in the new one, he goes, so everything he says kind of rocks. Mm-hmm. He has a bass player who just stands at the side of the stage, ready to go to rock. And
bass player?
Yes, there's just a bass player.
What's he going to play? Tax Man?
He's like going to play Tax Man.
Bass songs?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
So he's on call. His call never really comes.
Bum, bum,
bum. The call never comes, Tom.
That would be the greatest if the guy played Seinfeld music.
That would be, of course.
So the bass player never plays anything. He's just on call.
He's just threatening you with the potential to play. The potential to rock. And I understand that. That is frightening.
Yeah, potential to rock.
I mean, frightening to even say the potential to rock.
Yeah.
And then he keeps going like, do you guys like spiders? You know, the crowd goes nuts. I mean, he's like, do you guys like
spiders?
Yeah, I mean, he's just naming stuff. You know, he's running
at the clock on this show. Like, it's like that one magician, that crybaby magician, the one who did that special where he was like,
I know that guy
can't handle that. That guy where he was just like,
do you remember that point in the pandemic?
When everybody was like, oh, you have to watch this.
Hushed tones. Yeah, okay, oh yes, God. But
you have to watch this guy. He cries.
And then Tim Gunn cries.
He does three tricks in 90 minutes. He does three magic tricks in 90 minutes. And one of them has a book that he gives an audience member to go home and do the show for him, apparently. Yeah. Like you're like a collaborator now. If he ever picked me to take that book, I would take it. I'd throw it right in the sewer, right outside the theater. And then you'd watch after the show that crybaby on his hands and knees with a stick trying to fish it out of the sewer.
Very punk. I got to say, he looks like, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to do, but it looks like Nanette at an Asian fusion restaurant. The wall reminds me of like just an Asian fusion restaurant waiting room. And my man's just doing Nanette. You know, but to be fair, Tim Gunn is crying. You know what I mean?
No, he did make Tim Gunn cry.
Come on. At the end of the day, you know, Tim Gunn is crying.
If you can make Tim Gunn cry.
Yeah.
That's the real magic trick.
Well, but so check this out. Chris Angel, he goes, you know, do you guys like this? Do you guys like that? Mm-hmm. Everybody's hyped. The woman in front of me is basically pulling her hair out. That's how horned up she is for this.
Okay.
Okay. He goes, then halfway through, he goes, do you guys like cancer?
Oh, he's going to start on the Johnny Christopher stuff now.
Oh, son. Tom, he goes right into it. He does a cancer bit. I mean,
God bless him. His kid was sick for a while. And
yeah, God bless
him. His kid's better now from everything I've heard. Yeah. But the show I saw, he did a weird thing where there was like a, sexy lady came out in a wheelchair acting all like she was sick, and then suddenly pulls off the thing and starts dancing around.
No.
And it was like, yeah, it was the most troubling thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
and it was like, yeah, no, it's weird how with some of these shows, it could either be the thing you did is the most strangely personal thing and you should probably never tell anyone about that, or it should be, yeah, put it in this incredibly mainstream show. Yeah. And it's so weird that it becomes like oddly universal. It's strange how those things work like that. They go from being so unique to where you might be just like, oh, we could never do this in a show. That's just too strange. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be just like, nah, let's do it. And then it's for everybody all of a sudden.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's for everybody also. And watch this. Watch how I do this.
Okay.
Truth Hound season 2.
Oh, Tom. I mean, this is why you're good. I mean, well, this is, you. I mean, you're kind of what you're BP, you're beyond pod, but.
Oh, thank you. I'm beyond pod. I appreciate
Yeah, you're
it.
Beyond pod, and yeah. I'm not afraid to say it, you know, and some of us are just in the gutter looking up at the stars as kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we say, and so to us, the stars are you. And you know.
Well, you're very sweet, and you might need to get some perspective on a few things if that's how you truly see things.
Tom, I got no, I can't get, I'm in the gutter. Where do you have to go for perspective? Keep in mind.
That's true. Now, Anna, what else is going on? You're doing shows. What are you doing? What's going on? Are you around Los Angeles? Are you back doing live stuff?
Oh, I'm back. You know, I gotta get on the stage.
That's very convincing.
They can't keep me away from the stage. I go, you know, now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, more than ever, you know, because. Uh-huh. You know, comedy's in a sensitive place right now. You know, guys can barely be guys anymore. So I do what I can.
Well, we appreciate it.
I know
on behalf of all guys, we appreciate you fighting the good fight. But seriously, your season 2 is out of Truth Hounds. It started today, literally today. Yeah.
Literally today.
It's very exciting. I'm glad you are still doing it, and I'm excited to hear what goes on in season 2, and people can get it where they get podcasts.
They can get it exactly where they get podcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I say to you, thank you for coming on the best show.
Oh my God, Tom, thank you. What a pleasure.
Well, it's a mutual pleasure.
It's a mutual pleasure. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I look forward to seeing you soon. And
yeah.
Thank you, Anna Saragina.
Thank you, Tom.
Gina.
Sharpen. Yeah. Gina. Well, you know,
I always get it wrong. I always think I got it right, and then I outsmart myself in my head and say the wrong thing. It's weird.
Well, check this out. Thank you, Tom Sharpling.
There you go. Look at that.
So,
I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Thanks, Anna, and I will talk to you soon.
Yeah. Bye, Tom.
All right, bye. That was nice. I love Anna. I love talking to Anna. She's cool. Pat, we got any other calls?
We got 1, 2, 3.
Let's do these 3. Hello, best show.
Tom.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jim Hill out in Babylon, Long Island, New York.
Babylon, New York. What's going on in Babylon tonight?
Well, I've been sitting here for a long time waiting to talk to you. I've been a long-time listener, and I sat here and waited, and I got through, so I'm super excited.
Here you are. It's your moment now. It's your moment now, Jim.
Yes. I'm a Patreon member. I pre-ordered your book. You did it.
Sweet.
Yes, SOB. And also, I'm a not often mentioned friend of Tom.
Oh, yes. The friend of Tom. The original. Do you remember what the name was before it was Friends of Tom?
I don't know if I know that.
That's a trivia. That's some good trivia for people. What was Friends of Tom called before Friends of Tom? I wonder if anybody will get it. But what matters right now is what you have for the topic.
Well, before I give you the topic, I just wanted to express some gratitude to you and the Best Show and all the guys there. You guys make such great stuff, you know, Pat, Mike, Slaw Dog, of course, John Worcester. You know, over the last, like, so many years, you guys have helped me, like your show is so awesome and it just brought me so much joy and so much fun. And you've introduced me to some of my favorite all-time acts like Kurt Vile and Ty Siegel, you know, helped me dive back into stuff like John Cale and I can't tell you how many times I've listened to like The Gathering of the Juggalos or your Jazz Man clip. Just,
Very kind. I'm glad you've been on board for a while, and that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this summer, you know, my daughter got Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, you know, thankfully, she, as of last month, she's in complete remission. Oh, and
that, thank God. That's...
Yeah. Yeah, so and it was, you know, I was just always able to check in with you and you guys do just to, when I needed a laugh and take some stress off, and you guys were always there, and thank you so much.
Oh, of course. That's I know it sounds, it might sound corny, but one of the reasons I love doing the show is for my own glorification. I'm kidding. No, it's for, it's because it's a thing we all enjoy together. I enjoy doing it. You enjoy listening. You call, and now you're doing the show, and I'm enjoying you being on the show. It's a shared experience, and I'm glad that the spirit of the show could help you through some tough times.
Thank you. Just wanted to say thank you very much.
Of course, amazing and very. Hopefully, obviously, but she just keeps getting stronger and healthier, and this will be just a part of her past before you know
16 years, it. 16 years old, she says she believes it's part of her metamorphosis.
Absolutely. No, she's got a lot to do and a lot of fun experiences ahead, and it's great that she'll go through it with some perspective and just really appreciate everything. So that's very powerful, and I'm glad she's doing better.
Thank you very much. I do have, I haven't been able to listen tonight, see if we can get the RS feed to work, but I do have Bugs Bunny.
You think Bugs Bunny would be I think the thing about Bugs Bunny to me, Bugs Bunny just wants to be left alone.
Right.
I don't think you'd see Bugs Bunny unless you were bothering Bugs Bunny.
Which would lead you to suffer through Bugs Bunny. So if you're in his presence, something good ain't
happening. I think Bugs Bunny, and if you were in real life to meet Bugs Bunny, you'd be like, man, Bugs Bunny a little aloof. I think Bugs Bunny would be more aloof unless you were shooting at him, for example, or trying to ruin his little rabbit hole. Then you would be in trouble because he would come, you'd be on his radar. You just don't, you're not going to be friends with Bugs Bunny.
No, he has no friends.
Pretty much.
Some people say Daffy Duck's his friend, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know if they are actually friends. That might be slightly more, I think we all might want to be Bugs Bunny, but we all realize we are Daffy Duck.
Absolutely.
That's a good one, though. That one, that's a thinker you just dropped on my head.
What about Clifford?
Just dropped a thinker on my head.
Another one of your favorites. What about Clifford?
Oh, it'd be awful. It'd be absolutely terrifying. There's no, that kid is a demon. In real life, Clifford would be the all-time worst.
Fun from the distance. Not if he's your kid.
Oh, yeah. It would be. It's fun to watch Clifford destroy his uncle's life. It's another thing to be his uncle and watch your life get dismantled. Got news for you. There's a bomb under City Hall. Imagine that. Your own words thrown back. Now you're under arrest. Those are two really good ones. You have any others?
I think that's it.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, my friend. I'm sorry you have got you and your kid have gone through what you've gone through. I'm happy that you're getting through it, though. That's a huge, huge thing. And it's going to keep going the same way. And just keep moving through it. And then you'll be moving past it before you know it.
It's already passed, brother. We're done.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
We're doing great. Thank you again. Oh. You guys are wonderful. Appreciate it.
Well, all right. Well, you have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Be good.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. Let's take another call, please. Two more. All right. Here we go. Hello, Best Show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Andrew in Los Angeles.
Andrew in Los Angeles. Do I know this, Andrew?
We have not spoken before. This is my first time calling.
Well, I'm going to say to you right now, welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
Where in Los Angeles, sorry?
In K-Town.
Ah.
Yeah,
very nice. Very
right
nice.
In the middle of everything.
Yeah, very nice. I love it. So why? What do you got for me, buddy?
Got two characters. I should say that I have not been able to listen while I've been on hold, so I'm hoping nobody said them before. But here goes. First and foremost, Tony Stark, aka Iron Man. Yeah. Would be my first choice. Has anyone said that yet?
Insufferable.
Absolutely. And in real life, very dangerous, because the closest person I can think of to Tony Stark is Elon Musk. And that we all know how that would go. If Elon Musk had an Iron Man suit, that would not be good for anyone.
Stark is basically Donald Trump Jr.
Kinda, yeah, because he would have had a rich dad who also, you know, who handed him everything. So, yeah, that's probably a better analog, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, that's my first choice. Honestly, though, any superhero has some level of pathology. Hero complexes in general are just bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. Now I hear you.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And then number two would be from the 100 Acre Wood, Tigger the Tiger.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Explain why, because I'm not as up to speed on I forgot all that Winnie the Pooh business.
Yeah, see, I grew up with that, so I'm a little more. But anyway, Tigger, you know, there's actually several characters from Winnie the Pooh.
You're a little more what? You're younger than me? Is that what you're going to say?
Possibly.
Yeah, that stuff is from 150 years ago.
Yeah.
It predates all of us.
I had VHSs of the Disney.
Okay, so maybe it's, look, I remember it. I just haven't seen it in so long. So yeah. Yes, okay. So now you're saying it's been longer for me because I'm older than you. I gotcha. That's not that, fine.
Not that much, but a little bit.
But anyway, so what am I supposed to go? You want me? What do you want me to go? Go get my hot water bottle and sit and watch Wheel of Fortune. Put a Werther's original. Have a Werther's original. Treat myself. Nice snack. Oh boy, I earned this. I earned this Werther's original. That's some butter. Now that's some. Why are these so hard? Why can't they make softer ones?
Oh man, sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm joking, buddy. Don't worry.
So the reason
tell me why Tigger would be awful in real life.
Well, I mean, it's really just the liability. You know, like you could invite all of the Winnie the Pooh characters to a party, and they would all negatively impact the party in some way. But Tigger would be the only one who would, like, destroy your property and or have the cops show up from a noise complaint. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, yeah, Eeyore's kind of a bummer. Piglet will stress you out, but only Tigger will destroy your stuff or have the cops call on you. So that's why.
Well, that tail's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is.
That springy tail.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Like, did you ever hear me talk about when I had someone I was meeting? Here's a story I'm going to say. I was working on a TV show.
Sure.
I was between seasons. There was a change at the very top of the show. There was a change in leadership. I met with the new leadership. The new person running the ship, and they said to me, "Oh, I pick up on like an Eeyore vibe from you."
Oh no!
Yeah, I've never been so hurt in all my life. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I think about that, and it gets me up in the morning, and I see this person's name show up on different shows, and I want to, I want them to realize that was an awful thing to say, and that, well, I don't even care about an awful thing. I just want to torch them with some old fashioned success. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
Kind of makes me want a little, not revenge, because I don't care. You just do the best you can with these things, and you can't get caught up in revenge or whatever. But to say that to me when it's my job, like I'm dancing now for a job, and I quit. Okay. I said I can't work here. And I lost basically a year's worth of money, because it's like it was going to be forced to either work with somebody who. For a year to work with somebody who said I give off a Eeyore vibe, or to just go figure my own business out. And I left and I lost basically a year's worth of pay just to not have to be around that person. Oh, and that is really unfair. And like that this is because they didn't want me working there. So they were trying to do everything they could to drive me to make it not a place I wanted to be. So that's why they would say stuff like that. And they were really awful to me in the meeting and in a variety of other ways. And they basically walked me to the edge of the cliff. And then I took a step forward to get away. And they're like, he jumped. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a bummer, man.
It was. Yeah. But look here. This is what I'm going to say. The one thing that this person, I see the things that this person works on. They're not very good. They work a bunch. Are any of the things good? No, they're not. But you know what? I'm the rat bastard, and I gotta keep pushing. I had a bad week last week, my friend. Bad week.
Oh, yeah.
Two had a couple true setbacks career wise last week, like legit ones.
Ooh.
But you know what? I gotta keep picking myself up off the ground, dusting myself off. Because that person said I got an Eeyore vibe. They got an Eeyore vibe from me. I'm going to be like, yeah, does that sound like Eeyore to you now? When I get some, What am I doing here? I'm bearing my soul here. That's okay. Wow. You're the best show audience. You're my friends. Yeah. And we talk honestly. And I'm trying to just share certain things. But I had a really bad week. A couple things fell through that I worked a long, long time on. But I'm trying to just keep it going. And I want to get something going so the person who said I give off an Eeyore vibe can eat some humble pie.
Yeah.
Look, I might give off a Tigger. I could pick up on a real Tigger vibe from you, but cool. Like a kind of loud, fun character. I could take that. Eeyore. Yeah. I almost called my book Eeyore Vibe.
Great book, by the way.
What's that?
Great book, by the way.
Wait, I couldn't hear you. What was that?
Fantastic book. It never ends.
Oh, no. Thank you. Of course. I'm just being creep.
I read it and then listened to the audiobook with my girlfriend. Oh. We both enjoyed it. Tremendously.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very happy with it. And but that Eeyore vibe thing, that was just meant to drive me away. It's like who could work for somebody who would say that? And that's what their intent was, because they wanted to hire all their people. Right. And they didn't want to inherit me, even though I had a contract. So they got me to break my own contract just for my own mental sanity. Whatever. What are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do, my friend? So,
I don't know. I have some ideas as to what that might be based on my extremely limited experience in television, but I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to even ask you. Obviously, you're not going to name names.
No, I'm not going to name names. I'll just, not hard to figure out if you really want to put two and two together, but.
I probably will, to be honest.
What's that?
I probably will look it up.
No, you'll probably go. It's not hard. You go, you put it together.
Yeah.
Not hard to figure out. So what else you got? Anything else?
Those are the two that I had off the top of my head. I could go further with like superheroes or whatever, but I'd rather keep it simple.
No, that's good. We did a lot and you got me to crack and spill way too much about my life. God bless you. You're like Barbara Walters here, getting me to open up and cry.
Oh man. Well, I'll take that as a compliment, I guess.
It was a compliment.
Well, thanks.
Tom, all right, it was buddy. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Thanks, same here. It was great talking to you too.
All right. Bye.
All right. Final call. Here we go. Hello, Best Show. Best Show, hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Welcome to the Best Show.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Emily.
Emily? Where are you calling from, Emily, if you don't mind me asking?
Cape Cod.
Not specifically, not your home address. Like what city?
The region of Cape Cod.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, Emily. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
What's your pick? Have you seen how many Oscar movies have you seen, Emily?
Ooh, not many, but I'm definitely going to be watching the On Cinema Oscar special anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, that would be cool.
I have not done well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, are you a Greg head? Where do you stand on that?
I'm a Greg head. He's got the expertise.
Yeah, I go both. I go back and forth. I think I'm a little bit of both. Hard for me to pick.
I respect that. It's the same for me too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Duty out.
Yeah.
Studio. Did you ever
who said yes?
So Pat said yeah. Did you ever find that clip that you mentioned off air? The kid getting mentioned on a thing?
Oh yeah, hold on, I can send it right to you.
Okay. Maybe we'll play that. Do you think it would be tacky to play it? I think it might be tacky.
Never mind. No, not at all. No, you got to play it.
Okay. So let's go. So, Emily?
Yes.
What do you got for the topic?
I don't know. I was thinking about it, and I kind of thought that, he would kind of suck in real life, just that in that he would be annoying. But maybe Reed Rothschild, played by John C. Reilly in Boogie Nights, because he's always trying to one up everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, like, he's kind of a chill guy, and you know, he might be fun to hang around, but you know, he'd be one upping you at the gym and like at parties. You'd share a fun fact, and then he'd have to say a funner fact.
Yeah, it would be like just the level of, like you said, one-upsmanship and competition. This like this one-sided competition.
Yeah.
It would be truly exhausting. And he seems like a stunted little kid.
Yeah, he does. And he doesn't seem like a horrible guy because, I mean, he does seem chill and you know, he could probably be like a good friend in some ways. But yeah, he's kind of just insecure and he's just kind of a braggart. And I'd get really tired of it, I think.
I think it would be pretty exhausting. Do you think that Reed is the most exhausting character from Boogie Nights? I'd say Scotty would drive me up the wall, maybe a little more than Reed.
Scotty's probably the sweetest one, but he would probably drive me nuts too. I think
Scotty would burn you out.
Yeah, probably. Although maybe I don't know, Roller Girl might, but I think Scotty's a sweetheart, though.
Sure. I think as long as they got that Bolivian marching powder hanging around, that everybody's going to be a little unpredictable. Like you're going to get a lot of people on their worst days.
That's a really good point.
Now, Emily, what about this? Do you think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, do you think that you could do some sort of personality evaluator if you ask people what their favorite and least favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movies are? Do you think you could tell what type of person you're talking to based on what their favorite and least favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie is? I think there might be something there.
I've kind of, you know, checked people out that way a little bit, but
favorite?
Well, Magnolia.
Okay. Ah,
really?
Make it sound like I have something
figured out. Oh, Magnolia, eh?
No. Well, There Will Be Blood is my all-time favorite.
Okay, so There Will Be Blood is your all-time favorite. What would be your least favorite?
My least, Heart 8.
And it's all relative. It's all relative. So, you know, it's not like...
Yeah.
For me, it is, at least. It's not like there's a... It's not like if... Wherever my least favorite one would be, it's not like I think it's great. But right. It's not... It's just my personal least favorite. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I can watch all of them. But I would say, well, for sure, There Will Be Blood. I saw that so many times in the theater. But Boogie Nights was the first one I saw. I was like... a teenager and I kind of snuck in to see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I paid, but, they didn't, sure. You know, kind of.
Well, you snuck in because you were not old enough to buy a ticket for.
No, I was like 14 or something. So,
yeah.
Did
you buy a ticket for a different movie?
No, it was a cool little art house here on the Cape. And, I eventually worked there when I was older, but, no, I think they just probably felt bad because I was alone for one on a Friday night, and they were probably just like, let this awkward kid
see the movie
yeah. about pornography.
Yeah.
Let's let this all, this kid seems lonely. Let's let them see the 3-hour movie about pornography.
Yeah. I turned out fine.
You did turn out fine. I'm just saying at the theater though, they've got to make some snap decisions.
Oh.
I'm glad you got in to say, what would be your least favorite? You said, did you say Heart 8?
I did. I know it's probably a common one, but I don't know. I don't dislike it at all. I mean, it's a great movie, but if I had to, you know, rank them, I mean, that probably would be on the lower, you know, end of it. Yeah. But
I would agree with that, and I would put it on the lower end, but I recently watched it again, and I don't know if I would put it at the bottom, but I don't know what would go at the bottom.
I haven't seen it in like 15 or at least 10 years, so maybe I should watch it again.
You know what I think might go on the bottom for me?
Not Phantom Thread.
No, Phantom Thread's the top. Phantom Thread's one of my favorite movies ever. Even though one of the producers on The Best Show described it as a movie about sewing.
When Julie has another name for it, I think. Right?
Julie called it something about mushroom toilet or something.
Toilet
or whatever. Tailor. What did she call it?
Toilet Taylor on the toilet, Taylor
on a toilet or something like that.
Yeah.
Which sounds like something you'd buy at Spencer's Gifts.
Right.
Like it seems like some weird Taylor on a toilet. Bank, like it would be like a bank that like the toilet would flip up or something when you put money in it. I might put Licorice Pizza at the bottom.
Oh,
look, yeah. I really like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I just, in terms of certain things, I might just say it might just be the way it shakes out because they gotta go somewhere. You know what I mean? Like that's the unfortunate part about lists. There's like a cruelty to it almost because you're putting things you like in the lowest slot and you're like, no, but that means I think it sucks, but I think it's great. But in terms of, I think it might be slightly, minor in the scheme of things for me, and I don't mean because he's 15. I don't mean that kind of minor.
Well, my friend was so upset by the trailer that it kind of, I think I had some bias going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just got really mad about the music for the trailer, but I agree with you. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with Paul Thomas Anderson.
No, I don't think so either. I will say I was slightly irritated that he used the song Stumbling In by, who's it by again? John, Our Love is a Light, and So It Begins, Foolishly Laying Our Hearts on that song on the table and stumbling in it. That song came out in like 1978, and it was the first thing I knew when I was watching the movie. I'm just like, come on. This didn't come out in 73. What are you doing to me? What are you doing, PTA? I almost walked out, and I was at a screening that he was at. I almost was like, this is garbage. This is garbage. This song came out in 1978. Very telling. Emily, you are a great caller, Emily.
Oh, thank you. I got into The Best Show through Double Threat, so thank you.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's so nice to hear. That's what I like to hear, is that all the shows are working in tandem.
Definitely.
And, well, thank you so much for that, and I'm glad you got through, and I'm glad you called, and please call again.
Yes, I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was nice. That's a nice caller. See? Good stuff. Dudio, you sure I can play this? It's not going to sound... I think it's tacky.
I don't think it's tacky.
All right, let's take a vote. At the end of this, We'll take a vote if people think it was tacky or not.
Okay. Okay.
And also, do you have any of those Neil deGrasse Tyson? Did you find any other ones?
Let's play this and I'll find you another one.
Oh, okay.
I do have them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know. I'm going to play this. It's from the WGA. No, this is tag. I can't do it. Never mind. I can't do it. Maybe I'll put it on Instagram, but I can't do it on the show. Can't do it.
Really? It's great.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
All right.
I just can't. I get self.
I get it.
So, yeah. We can wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. And let's do Pat.
Yep.
You have any anything you want to announce? Your friend who passed away, there was a memorial fund.
Yeah, there is a GoFundMe and that is going to a weekend we're going to have at the end of April in Jersey City. Information to follow, and we will have hopefully some bands playing and an art show and more to be announced as time gets closer to that date. But
okay, and people can check out your Twitter and for that link.
Sure, yeah, the link is on my Twitter, 1-800-PAT-BURN, and
I retweeted it too. It's on my thread somewhere.
Thank you for that. It's just GoFundMe, Chuck Daly forever, and all the money that we raise that we don't use towards celebrating his life will go towards a mental health charity. So
that's great.
The money will be well spent.
That's great. Dudio, anything?
I have a Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, let's hear it.
The song "Fly Me to the Moon" also references Jupiter, Mars, and the stars. Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. FYI, due to its axial tilt, Mars does actually experience spring. Jupiter, not so much.
How did he spell that sound?
Which sound?
That.
That's M M M M M P H.
Okay.
That's him going. Yeah, he needs to. He thinks that's a fun gimmick, but it's honestly, it's just like your buddy that you claim to know, where it's always like, I swear he was just here a second ago. Alan blames everything. Where it's just like, you don't have to rain on everybody's parade with all your things, and be like, see how I ruined it? Isn't that fun?
And then he has one that is just simply, the film A Marriage Story should have instead have been named Divorce Story.
God.
He's right about that, though, right?
Yeah, no,
I mean, he's not exactly wrong. He's not wrong, Mike. You're right.
Sure.
You're right.
No, sure. No,
it doesn't have to be said.
just like you call... Just like you could call someone, you call a big guy tiny, or a shorter person stretch. Yeah. Is he going to go through that next? What? Actually, that movie should have been called. Actually, the movie Men in Black should have been called Men and a Woman in Black, because at the end, Linda Fiorentino becomes an agent also. Give me a break. Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's a snooze. And dude, you got The Hawk is out. Season finale. Is that what I hear?
Season finale's coming up. And We have someone we want to be on the season finale.
That's cool.
I haven't emailed you yet.
Well, would you need to get their email from me? Is that what you're...
That's exactly what I'm... Yeah, I'm going to need to get a couple emails from you.
Sure. And who? I'll help you out with that.
Thank you.
Mike, any plugs?
I'm going to plug St. Peter's. Take the points.
God.
If you do well.
I feel like we're on the.
If you do well, you know, give like Mike a little like, taste.
Yeah, it's a DraftKings podcast.
Yeah. I remember when we did those. So Mike's saying take the points. Remember when we were doing those DraftKings ads? And get locked into this. Basically, I'll say this. You get locked into a deal and. Yeah, look, it's on me to have ultimately said I can't do these immediately. I should have said that. I tried to make it work, honestly, because I wanted the best show to work and was scared it was going to go under and tried to give as much of a chance for all that to work. And I'm not blaming it on anybody but myself. But there was the one day, 5 minutes before the show starts, that suddenly New York State declares one of those sites was like under investigation, and then I've got to read FanDuel. Then I got to read an ad for them 5 minutes after the New York State like Attorney General says they're investigating FanDuel. Now it's all on the up and up. But at that point, it seemed like it was a little sketchy.
Does California have legalized sports betting?
I couldn't tell you, Mike.
No, I mean you haven't come across these shows then. These betting shows, it's a whole thing now. It's a new industry in television. These betting shows where a bunch of idiots sit around on chairs and pontificate about what they would do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the easiest show you could make. I mean, they're not held accountable. They don't come back the next day and say, hey, everyone, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I
gave you the wrong advice. Yeah,
I went 3-11 on the football games for the week. If you listen to me, odds are you lost a lot of money. So I truly apologize.
Really sorry.
No. Well, that's the whole thing with sports radio in general, where Mike Francesa would just go, blah, blah, blah. This game is going to be a thing. Blah, blah, blah. There's no way the Yankees can, you know, lose this game because they got too much firepower with the thing. And then the Yankees lose the game 10-2. And then the next day he's like, the arm on the one pitcher is the thing. Like he starts yelling about why they lost.
He never eats crow.
None of them ever do. Colin Cowherd. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, like this guy's a bust. This guy will never make it. This other guy's great. you only hear why the facts were the facts. Never, and I got it wrong. All right, everybody. We're going to say goodnight. And Best Show will be back next week. And thanks, everybody who listened. And I want to also say one thing to announce. Oh, yeah, our friend Emma Healy has a book out. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk next week. We'll talk to Emma next week. She has a really great book out. All right, thanks, everybody. Bye.